Rebbe and Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Kolo. I have good news and bad news for everybody. The good news is that I tried really hard to kind of boil down the sugya of Parsha, so at least we're facing a maximum of 3 hours for this chabur. And the better news is that if people don't attack me too much, that'll maybe help things go even more quickly. But we'll see. It doesn't look good for me that when I'm giving the shiur here, all of a sudden the clock is 3 hours slow. That's PM. Ah, maybe. Okay, so the topic today is Harsha. And what I'm going to try to do, when Moshe and I learned the sugya, it felt like every single Rishon was kind of imitating Rav Chaim, and that was kind of confirmed for us when we saw the Ketos, and the Ketos says, you know, so I'm going to tell you what the Yesod of Harsha is, what Harsha is really all about, and you're getting ready, geared up for like this, awesome, brilliant new Ketos, and then he says, right, Pshat and Harsha is what the Mechamos had to say. So what I think we'll do is we'll go through the Gemara, we'll survey some of the main Rishonim, we'll try to pin down what the main Shitos are, take out a few nafkamina, and that'll be it. So let's just start. I think we need to go through the Gemara, even though I'm sure everyone's hopefully seen it. But there's a lot that's coming out of the Shach V'Tari itself. So we'll take a couple minutes to read. We'll read the Gemara, and then we'll start to quick hit the Rishon. So I'm standing down here, but I feel bad that I didn't know about Sami's Chaburah last week, because the relationship between Rabbi Yochanan and Harsha is a critical topic. It's not one that I'm going to talk about too much because there's just too much to cover in the sugya, right? But it's important that whatever your girsa of our Gemara is, right? So Harsha is coming off of the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan, right? So we start up with the very top of Ayin Wal, and the Gemara says, right? So what I'm going to do is I'll kind of go through the Gemara, and then as we go through, I'll just make like some brief comments, right? What the simple interpretation of each line of the Gemara has to say for the lumbus of Harsha, and then right whether Rishonim are going to have to do to fight back going the other direction. So the Gemara says, right, Amri Nehardai lo kasvin urkasa ametaltali, right? So Nehardai says that you can't write a Harsha on metaltalin. Amar Rabashi l'amim Rabbi Taima Amar Leim Mishum Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Dam Rabbi Yochanan Gazal Nasechu Abayim Shem Yichol Hakdish Zelav Yishen Shlov Zelav Yisheino Bershusa. Right. So the first interpretation we have of why you can't write a harsha on mitaltalin is that this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan. Right. And this seems to imply that there is some hakna going on in harsha. Right. After all, so far we've seen Rabbi Yochanan be invoked in the Gemara for the inability to be machna stolen property. We've seen him be invoked for the inability to be podem. We've seen him for the inability to be mafkir. Right. So this is the fourth thing in the Gemara we're seeing that you can't do, thanks to Rabbi Yochanan, because the object is not in your rishus, and that is you can't do a harsha. Right. So the simple indication is that there is some sort of hakna going on, at least according to the first Rambamer, and that is indeed what Rashi says. We'll talk about Rashi more in depth later on. Right, but just to note very quickly that he mentions Yachol HaKnoso right up there in the second line on Ayin Abad. Okay, so that's version number one. Iga Amri, at least, as appears in our Gemara. Amri Nerdai Lo Kasin Urkasam Bataltali De Kafre Time of the Kafre De Mechsi Keshikra Avalo Kafre Kasvinam. Right, the second version we have, it seems like there's no longer possibly no longer a fundamental problem of being appointing a Morsha for your stuff. The only problem is that it is Mechsi Kashikra. It seems for some reason like when you appoint a Morsha that you were doing something which doesn't appear to be correct. Right? So now what this tells us, right, is the second opinion of the Gemara completely arguing on the first opinion of the Gemara, is the second opinion of the Gemara really fundamentally along the same wavelengths. Right? That's going to be more up for debate. But if you were coming into Harsha as kind of an anti-Hakna'a person, so you'd be very happy to have this Mechsi Kashikra idea, right? Because it just leaves you more open to getting rid of the Hakna that seems to be in the cycle. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Right? So if the Harsha, right, if the Shtar Harsha does not have written in it that the Murshah should go judge in Beis Din and acquire the stuff for himself. So then the Harsha does not have any stature. My time, Mishum Damerlei Hayech Lav Bal Devarim Didiya. Right, because otherwise the Nitba can say to the Murshah, hey, you're not the I didn't whatever. Exactly, the relationship between Nitva and Tevea is, right? That's all part of the discussion. Is this Pikad, or is this a Halva, etc.? Whatever exactly is going on, right? So the Nitva can say to the Morsha, without this line of Zil Dun Zachi Bezab Apakanafshach, he can say that you are not the Baal Dvarim, and therefore I don't need to deal with you, right? So this is obviously a critical line in the Gemara, because it seems like all of what Harsha is trying to do is to empower the Morsha to go and deal in Beis Din with the Nitva. Right, so if we're saying that without Zil Dun, you can't do that, because Lav Bal Dvarim did that, so that points to something, you know, really critical going on with this line. And it also seems to indicate that there is Hakna again, right? Hakna seems to have returned, right? Because we may have been able to, maybe you could dismiss the first Igad Amri in the Gemara, you could say we pass like the second Igad Amri. However, the fact that we're saying Zil Dun, right, that really implies that there is serious Hakna going on, and the implication of the Gemara is that if you fail to make him, if you fail to be Makna to the Morsha, then you fail to have enough status as a Morsha to go and sue the other party in Beis Din. Okay, so right, so if we're going to want to dismiss Hakna, you're going to have to seriously grapple with that line in the Gemara as well. Then Amar Abaye, Iksiv Bei Lemachta Leshlesh Ravia, Migo de Meshtai Dina Palga Meshtai Dina Akula. Right, so Abaye says that if you write in the shtar that the Morsha can take a half, a third, or a quarter for himself, since he can judge on that part, so then he can judge on the rest as well. Again, right? Seems like there's hakna in here too. Fine. And then Amar Meimar Itapas Lavav Kidavina. Right. And so then Meimar tells us right that you cannot. So unclear who this is. Rashi brings two opinions, but you know, Rav Rishonim believe, and including Rashi himself, think that when Rav Rashi is telling us is that the Morsha, if the Morsha takes the stuff for himself, the Mishaleach, or the, I never know how to say it, it's the Marshia, I think it's the Marsha. The person who sends the Morsha.
The
Marsha. The Marsha. Okay. So the Marsha will lose out if the Morsha seizes the stuff for himself, which again strongly indicates, right, that there's bailus, that there's hakna to the Morsha, and therefore that's what allows him to be tofes and mess up the Marsha. Right, that's actually, you know, possibly the crowning line. So if we just take a step back at this point in the Gemara, right, the majority shitos that we're bringing so far in the Gemara are militating towards there being at least a hakna'a going on in Harsha, and possibly and even likely you'd say that the primary and maybe even exclusive element in Harsha is that this is a form of hakna'a, right? If I was going to define what is Harsha is a form of hakna'a. It is a way to give the Morsha a stake in the object, which allows him to be Tavea, which allows him to defeat the claim of Lav Bal Dvarim Didiya. And however, as you know, right, along comes Ravashi, and Ravashi says, Ravashi Amar, Kevin the Kasve Le Kol Demes Ani Mendina Kiblis Alai Shliach Shavye, right? So since it's also written in the Shtar, says Ravashi, that whatever's answer to you, I'm going to accept. So that makes it clear that the Marsha is still the one who is the Bailam in the program, and therefore, says Rav Ashi explicitly, you have only made the Morsha a Shliach, right? And seemingly, therefore, the Tfisa will not be effective, right? Then we have a bit of a debate, and again, the Gersa is not so clear, but at least the way we have it in our Gemara, the Gersa is as follows. Yikad Amar Shutva Shavye, right? That perhaps Rav Ashi didn't say he's a Shliach, he only said he's a Shutav. L'may nafkamina l'mitpas palga, right, because if he's a shutaf, then he's still a bailam and he can take half, which makes a lot of sense. All right, and then the malchus, you know, between a maimer and a ravash will only be whether you're taking half, whether you're taking all. And then, again, our guest, the word concludes, v'helchasa shliach shave, right? Halacha is that he's a shliach, and therefore it seems like ravashi is arguing with a maimer. Okay, right, so kind of the serious weight in the Gemara is telling us that this is a Hakna. And then we have Rabashi saying that the Morsha is a Shliach. If, right, other than Rabashi, the truth is, that's really the only line in the Gemara which you kind of seriously have to grapple with as saying that a Morsha is a Shliach. However, it's also the one which we end off by saying, V'hilchas HaKavase. Right, so on the one hand, there's the rest of the whole sugya, but on the other hand, there's the weight of the last line in the Gemara. Then we know the other primary Gemara where Harsha comes up is the sugya in Shavuos, right, where the Gemara there tells us that it's in the context of having someone swear various things, right, and you're supposed to, if you know testimony, so you have to give it. And the Gemara in Laman Gimel and Beis, right, says the following. What's the word? Second. Right, so the Gemara is Medayik from the Mishnah that if let's say Reuben comes to Levi and Reuben comes to Shimon and says that you should testify that Hamana the Ploni biyad Ploni, right? That Levi owes Yehuda money, right? And then I fails to do so, so that will be mechayev a karban, right? And the problem is that the what do you mean go testify that Levi is chayev money to Yehuda, right? The halacha is that you have to be mipi hatoveya in order to have to take a shvua, right? And then the answer the Gemara gives is that this guy is coming beharsha. Right, which again seems to imply that the Morsha is a serious bailim, right? He's equal maybe to the Baal Dover himself, and therefore he will not.
He has a shame
tovea. Exactly, right, and therefore he won't. He will be able to machaya the carbon from the nitzah. Okay, so then we've got the Rishonim. I'm going to assume that most of everyone here knows at least some. But we'll still try to go through it a little bit slowly because there's a lot to take out. So we know, right, the two extreme shittos that you're going to have in this, right, so either, right, one extreme will be to say that this is really shlichos, right, that really, really, really the morsha is a shliach, and then you'll, right, dismiss everything to the contrary. And extreme number two is going to be you're going to say that he is really a bailim. And then, right, so then you're going to have this messy middle area, right, where, you know, there seems to be mixed messages from the Gemara. So, can he be between a shliach and a bailim? And if so, how is that exactly going to play himself out? So, the extreme shittos, so some of them we can kind of go through pretty quickly, right? Our main primary shliach only shita we know is the is the Baal Hamar, and the Baal Hamar says, right, that. You kind of, it's almost like a jiu-jitsu move, right, where you use the fact that, you know, something is going totally against you, and you use the momentum of it to push yourself in the right direction, right? So Baal Hamar says, well, you know, the fact that, as we said, the entire Daf Ayin militates towards Hakna until all of a sudden Ravashi comes in, so, like, that's exactly the point, right? Because what Ravashi is doing is he's not only rejecting the local din of a Amemar about Tfisa, right, what Ravashi is doing is he's rejecting the entire previous Shaka Vataria and throw everything we've had until now, right? And Achnami are totally right that maybe until now the implication of the Gemara was that Harsha is a Hakna. But, right, the fact that Ravashi is so new tells me that I reject everything that came before him and Harsha is totally a Shlichas, right? And therefore, I'm not going to be concerned about any stiras between Harsha and Rabbi Yochanan, because there's no Hakna going on here, right? So that's going to open up the floodgates as far as what you are able to do a harsha on. Now, there are going to be some other assumptions that the Baal Hamar is going to have to make for this to work, right? So, like, one easy one, he says this explicitly, is that he's going to have to take a very strong line on Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso, right? If you're going to tell me that this is a strong enough of a Shliach to overcome the taina of lav bal dvarim didiya, right? So then I'm going to want to make this we're taking shulchan shalom kamoso extremely seriously, right? I don't think that the Baal Hamar thinks that there's anything unique to this shliach as opposed to other shluchim, right? But he just says,
clearly not.
Yeah, But so he just has to come in and say that, right, his, the global perspective, Shluch Hashem Kamoso, is one which is, right, he is really an extension of the Baalim, and therefore the Nitba cannot tell the Morsha, hey, you're not the person who I lent, or who I borrowed, or was accepted as Bikadon stuff from, right, the Shliach really is Kamoso.
He doesn't necessarily have to have a stronger view of Shluch Hashem Kamoso. He could just have a, it's very possible that he just has a, in the end of the sugya, he doesn't think that to counter Lavol or to Diat or to be a Tovea for Shema Sa'edus doesn't require very much. You know, you just can't be an unrelated servant. In other words,
okay.
But, well, it's not just a question of semantics. In other words, you, I don't, it would be an interesting study to figure out in other issues where there are debates about the quality of Shluch Hashem Kamoso, whether the Balamor, based on the Shita here of equating Harsha and Shluch Hashem Kamoso, is, you know, reflects like a greater tendency to be a straw more, you know, a stronger, you know, advocate of Shluch Hashem Kamoso. I'm not sure if that's the case, but that would be the, I'm not sure if he's right.
Okay, there. I think there was one. One line in here. Okay, whatever. Oh, I'm looking at that.
I mean, there are really two navigators. Number one, does the Balamor have that tendency in other issues?
Well, he
but
says,
also in terms of other applications, especially not so much for Labal Torah Tidiyat, but especially for Shmur Sa'edos, what does it mean to be a Tovei in Shmur Sa'edos? Like how much independent authority do you really need for that? I think that is an issue which has impact on that whole topic.
I mean, that's one of the Rayas. I mean, that's the response of the Ravid and the Kasher Shem, is what are you going to do with this against Shmur? And the Ravid says, "Well, you know, you want to see what Hashem really is? Go look at my wonderful chibur, which he advertises like every other time he talks about Hashem. He keeps on saying, you know, I'm telling you, I'm not going to explain it here, but go look at my chibur, and you will. But the Baal HaMar did say, lo matzil lemeimar le lav bal dvarim diyat the shluch Hashem kamosa.
Yeah,
but is that a chiddush in one or the other? Okay."
It's something to keep an eye out for in both sides of that ledger.
Yeah.
But for the text here, I don't think you can know.
Okay. So then, besides the Baal HaMar, the other primary reason we know who's in this group is Tosfos that we have al Atar and a couple of places as well, right? Tosfos who are faced with the possible problem that it seems like we're doing Harsha'a on all sorts of things, which all sorts of situations where someone's trying to collect money that he's not, he doesn't have with him right now, including halvaos, right? And since, right, it doesn't really seem like you can, according to Riochanan, right? So it's very problematic. How would a Riochanan explain, right? Mobile outside Nidna, it's completely out of the Rishus of the Malva, right? And let's assume you can't be makna chovos, especially alpeh. So how can you have harsha to collect halvos, halvos alpeh, right? And so the move that Tosfos make is right a double, kind of a double whammy, right? So so number one, we're gonna say that we're gonna the Gemara paskins against the first Igud Amri of Nerdai, right? Because a couple of places in the Gemara quotes the concern for Machzikas Shukra. We know elsewhere that we reject the Chshash for Machzikas Shukra, right? So if you put the, therefore it turns out that we reject Nardai Basra, right? And if you tell me also that Harsha is really a Shlichus, so then I'm going to have no concern for Rabbi Yochanan because this is a Shlichus Asana Hakna. I'm going to have no concern for whatever Machzikas Shukra is because we're not Choshesh for Machzikas Shukra. And you put those together and now, right, open season for whatever Harsha you want to make. And we're not going to be concerned about any Harsha violating Rabbi Yochanan because there's no Hakna here. All there is a Shlichus. Right? That's what Tosfos say in a few different places. We'll revisit some of this later. Okay? So now the question is going to be, what if you think that there is some or a lot or exclusively hakna going on? right? How can we break down this idea? So the other extreme from Tosas and the Baal Amar, as you know, is the Rashba, right? Who has one of many of the Rishonim to write very lengthily on the topic, and the Rashba comes out very strongly as saying that Harsha really is a Hakna, and you indeed have made the Morsha into someone who has bias. There are a couple of different, just interesting Shakwatari details in the Rashba before we get down to his main shita. So we going through the Gemara. So he highlights a Maimar, and he also highlights the Mandar of the Gemara that Shifa Shavya, right? Even though these are both rejected the halacha, right? So the Rashba says the fact that these are there tells you what the overall Pshat Nesugya is, right? And Ravashi's Machlokas with a Maimar and with the other Girsa of Shifa Shavya is not one that is so vast, at all. Right. Basically, he's a Bialim, but there's going to be a clause in there, which we'll talk about in a second, which prevents Tfisa from going up. Right. So you're going to have to ask, so first of all, how is he a Bialim? What is it, how are we defining his Bialis? How are we going to balance his bialus with Rabbi Yochanan if indeed we think that the two do not clash? And on the other hand, how are we going to say that he's a strong bialim who doesn't have the ability to be tofes, right? A Maimar's approach seems to make a lot of sense, and it's unclear how you're going to explain otherwise. Okay. So, right, so the first point he makes is that a big chiddush in Rabbi Yochanan, right, the Rabbi Yochanan really, even though you cannot be makdish, you can be makna, right? That's point number one he's going to have to make. He quotes kiyakdish ish besa, right? That after all, it's a chiddush akra. The default orientation we'll have for what you need in order to transfer rishus of your stuff that you don't have. All you really need is ownership, right? The default is that you don't need practical on the hand hand on top of the item in order to be machna it. There is a chiddush akra that you will require rishus for hekdesh. And Rebbe showed me that the Talmud Harash of Harash, right? So that's, there are a few makaris which other people showed me. So I'll try to give credit where credit is due. I had not looked at the Talmud Harash of Harash. Who, looking at this one piece, seems to be confused if he wants to be a Talmud Harash, but if he wants to be a Talmud Harash, because he kind of goes back and forth between the two. But so he there quotes as well that besides the Chiddush Akra of Kiyakdish Ish Beisa, there's a second Chiddush Akra of Gunav Mi Beisa Ish, right? So that in both of these contexts, we're going to demand more than what we would need by default. We're going to need not just what we'll call bialus, we'll need rishus as well. But if you want to be makna things, right? So then you're not going to have a problem due to lack of rishus, right? And that's exactly why for the Igad Amra Basra of Nerdai, we are going to be okay with Harsha happening. We just have to deal with the technical concern of Mexica Shikra, because on a Ryochanan level, you're not going to have a problem of transferring Bailus to the Morsha. After all, you can do a real Hakna. Now, that raises a problem, which the Rashba and the Talmud HaRashba both note. And it's unclear what exactly, how the answer works. I'll get to what I think is going on in a second. The problem that you have, right, is very nice. So you've explained how within Rabbi Yochanan, how Rabbi Yochanan works with Yigadam Rebasa, right? Harsha is not a problem of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan only had unique Chidushe Akra requiring Rishus for Hekdesh and requiring Rishus for Vaguna Vesa Ish, right? But what are you, but for Harsha and Hakna, that's all hunky-dory. Right, the problem is that Ikadamri, the first Ikadamri of Neradai, said indeed that you can't do Harsha either. Right, so then you're going to be left with a very funny situation where you can be Machna things, but you can't do Harsha on things. Right, which is the exact opposite of what you would think intuitively, right? If I would think intuitively that, let's say, a harsha is a partial hakna, right, then I would think that it's easier to do a partial hakna than it is to do a full hakna, right? And that's what a number of the Rishonim in the sugya seem to think, right? The Rashba has to come out saying the opposite. He has to come out somehow as saying that even though you only need bialis in order to, transfer ownership to someone else, you could sell stuff that's not in your possession. Riochan is not going to be a problem for that, right? It'll only be a problem for Knossos and a problem for Hektish. But he's all of a sudden going to have to also say, according to Ner Daikama, that you can't appoint a Mursha either. You can't give him that different level of bialis. He doesn't explain why. He just kind of notes that, you can that's the way it is. You can be Machna, but you can't be Mursha according to Ner Daikama. Okay, so partly pressured by that, and partially we still have to explain what the Rashba thinks Harsha actually is. And what's so interesting is that you see two different comparisons, actually, between the Talmud HaRashba and the Rashba himself. The Talmud HaRashba says that the Harsha is kimo matana amanas lahachzir. So I don't know how much emphasis to put on the kimo, but, comparing this to an Otam al-Sahakhsir is very interesting, right? Because what's he trying to say? This is a situation where, you, on the one hand, you want there to be a real bailus being given to the Morsha, right? But on the other hand, we want the Morsha to be totally walled off from being Tofes, right? So Otam al-Sahakhsir is a great model for that to happen because it's a Matana, but he's going to have to give it back. Right, and that's understood from the get-go. When the Morsha gets the Shtar Harsha, so that is that's already in there, right? Is the line of Kol Misani Mendina Kiblas Ala, right? You're gonna have to give back whatever it is that you took. So we'll hold on to now because Matamna Sahaksir is going to make a reappearance, but that's not what the Rashba himself actually says. The Rashba makes a different dimyon, which I think is really interesting. So let's see, where is it? So Rashba says the following: the Afagav the Kaimulan Kiravashi, the Shlicha Shavye, Hanimili the Inyan Chazara. Right, that no, Ravashi is the one problem Rashba has to deal with. That's only when it comes to Chazara. Sheyachal Hamarsha Lachzor Ulhotzi Mimenu. Right, Aval Kol Shelo Chazarbo Hare Hu Shelo. Deino ella kimasne zil dun v'apik l'nafshach calls man shalo achzar bi, right? But until the point of giving it back, it fully belongs to the morsha. The morsha is indeed a bialis. And then he gives a comparison. Right, the comparison that the Rashba makes is to the sugya of the shtar mavreches in daf ayin tes in Anxus. Right, so just like a brief reference to that, right? So the sugya of Shtar Mavreches is a case where you have in the Gemara there's an almana, and the almana has a daughter from a previous marriage, right? And now she's remarried, but she wants to make sure that the new husband is not going to be on the hook to inherit any of her stuff, right? She wants to make sure that her child is going to preserve all of her, is going to get all of her stuff. So what does she do? She writes a Shtar Mavreches, giving her nechasa to her daughter, and right, the assumption in there is that in the event that she divorces husband number two, or husband number two dies, right, that the stuff will immediately go back to the the mother. So there's a whole din in the Gemara there. But the way that the Rashi himself learns the sugya is he says, A, this you can do this, and B, the daughter has a true Kenyan peiros, and she is a true bailim until the death or divorce of marriage number two, right? So that seems to be an excellent paradigm. It's a bit of a problem because Rishonim will talk about if you can do mavreches in the context of right isha with baila. So why can't you do this to get out of all sorts of balichot, right? That you can all of a sudden, kind of save a lot of your stuff from being meshubed if you can do mavriach there as well, right? So and the Rashba agrees with the Rain of Time, I think, that we do not allow you to do shtar mavriach in that it's shtar mavriach, I guess, but she's called mavriach. in that context. But that's the parallel that he makes to here, where you have a case where the recipient is the true Bailim. There is no Tanai, there's no Tanai going on. But there's this like very strong Umdana. There's an Umdana powered basis for us to say that when events so and so happens, the Kenyan will be undone and the stuff will be returned to the original owner, right? So that's the dimion that the Rashba makes for Harshah. So 2 points. Number one, so that explains very nicely his perception of the Mursha as the person who, right, how you can eat your cake and have it too, right? How you can have the Bailim but also have the firewall against Tfisa. Also, I think it helps explain the way that he has to massage Harshah in with Ner Dayakam, right? Because we can say that, right, it's not just that what's the Kenyan you're trying to pull off here? It's not just that I'm giving, one case I'm giving a full bailus, and one case I'm giving a partial bailus, right? If that was the case, then you'd set up some sort of kal vachomer. You could say, right, if I'm sufficiently in charge of the object to give full bailus, then why can't I be sufficiently in charge of the object to give only a partial bailus? But if our paradigm is going to be mavreches, right, so now things are getting extremely complicated, right? You really need to be, have serious control of the object in order to not just, because I'm still retaining ownership, but I am giving it to you, but I'm only giving it to you with the assumption that in certain circumstances it's going to come back to me. This thing is very complicated. It works in it works for the Isha. It doesn't work for the Baal Chov. Right? I think that the more of an exotic slash difficult Kenyan we make Harshah comparable to, the more understandable it's going to potentially be, right? According to Dari Kam and not according to Dari Basra, the more understandable it's going to potentially be that indeed you would require full, not just bailus, but you'd require full rishus to do this as well, just as you need it for Dal Behei and for Hekdesh. Yeah, all right, on.
What was the line you asked about?
Yeah.
What was the line you asked about?
How does the Rajbuks, when the Rajbuk explains the Lishna Kama,
right,
he's asking, is he saying that according to that daya, the problem of Rabbi Yochanan applies also to Akhenamah? Or is he saying that in Akhenamah, even then, it's limited only to Hekdesh, but what you want to accomplish through Harshah, because it's flimsier, requires more?
Yeah.
He wants you to read the line to say, to show that love of that idea.
And he just says it. Yeah, I can't. My Rashba is inconveniently MIA. But I have it in the.
In theory, he could have said the other thing, but he doesn't.
Right. Exactly.
It's like an overcompensation.
Right. The way, and
yeah, I mean, I have it in the Talmud, but this is the line that was the exact same, right? So he says, you can read it anyway. He says, Yeshlomer kesavri blishna kamra, urchasa hakna gruahi, velo chela el amidi de hab brishos, brishos mar le gamre, kid of ina behekdish, ugzela afagav de matzi maknala, lo matzi le aruchi ala.
The riot for such an approach would be why Hefker fall in that same era.
So that's actually, sorry, we talked about the Talmud HaRashba not being sure if he's the Talmud or the Rashba or the Rash. So when he says he's not a fan of the suit of Rabbi Yochanan because the fact that Rabbi Yochanan applies to Hefker and Pidyon tells me that it should apply to Hakna as well.
I'm saying, but in the Rashba,
yeah.
Then Hefker is towards where you're speaking, something more, something, which is harder to achieve.
Apparently.
The way he's saying, you can bring a riot to such an approach with first day and night, just from half-ground line. In fact, it
has
Hefker
also is a flimsy or
the Rashba has, there's nothing wrong with saying the Rashba's almost just moving the pieces in the circuit of everything. It's not a new, not such a new idea. It's just what I have to provide.
But in each application is its own.
That's paramount between the Rashba, because the second day is not going back on Hefker, it's only going back on
obviously,
you can split the pieces, but you could also
look
better.
Right. Following up on Crail's point, do you flesh out this idea that you require more violas for Matana Sachs here than for regular Matana?
Well, you don't, not for Matana Sachs. I said you don't require more violas for Matana Sachs.
For the
Harsha,
as opposed to the Lishnakamba.
No.
I don't think it's so terrible. That's what we had our discussion. He actually agrees with you that it's whatever.
It's not what I would have said, but I think it's the only way that you can. I think it's the only way that you can explain the
Rashba. The idea is that it's a very subtle kinyan, which requires that you distribute like the elements of kinyanim in a very sophisticated way, and in order to do that, you have to really be totally. As opposed to saying, which we all understand the other way, which is, oh, you're doing less hakanah here, therefore you should need less shlita in order to do it. The way I understand it is, for you to be able to pinpoint and to be like precisely split up and distribute the pieces of the bailus, you have to be some kind of bailus. I'm comfortable with that. That's what I think he's saying. I'm comfortable with that idea. I think that's what the idea is. He doesn't say that, but that's
right. There's a difference between like a detailed drilling of a tooth versus just yanking it out by the roots, right?
Anybody can yank out of the root, but if you want to like
you're on the root canal.
I wasn't thinking of the dental thing.
but that seems to entail that we're saying that it's a more intricate or more legally nuanced transfer of title.
For sure.
And therefore, to do that, you need more.
I think that's why I'm very happy that he's bringing in Mavrechas, because that's...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
As opposed to the transfer on condition.
Right. Anybody can...
Are you saying that transfer on condition is a more legally nuanced transfer of title?
No.
Not within the Rashba.
Not the condition per se. No. Remember, even in the... Well, again, the Rashba doesn't say Matana Sahasir here.
Right.
But even for the people who do, but this goes back to the Matana Sahasir issue, is that Matana Sahasir isn't just, according to many Rishonim, conditional. It's qualitatively, more nuanced and limited. Again, I don't know if we're going to get to this, but the Canadian, well, you will.
No, the Bahamas, yeah. It's coming. okay. Let me just make sure there was anything left that I had in the Rashba to say.
I think also just to make it clear on one point, which is implicit, I don't know if you said it, that's that the Rashba's view is that Harshal does not apply to Dilba.
Yeah, right, which he says very...
That's kind of where this is...
Very strongly.
Right.
Right.
That's like, boom. And that's... Yeah. That's very remarkable.
Right, I'll pat. Move I'll pat. Okay, fine. So that's Rashba. We'll leave him for now. Right, and then we move on from there to the positions where we get into more vague territory. Right, so number one, we've got the Mochamos, right, the one who the celebrated Mochamos, right, the one who the Ktsos is dancing for, and for good reason. Right, so the Mochamos comes out as saying, right, that you have both going on, right, you have both Shlichos and Hakna. Operating simultaneously, right? Atrei Rikshi Rachiv, which I haven't had time to really work out, but it's interesting because that line is coming from Shchev Meira, which the relationship between the Shchev Meira Segya and the Harsha Segya, there's a lot going on there, but I haven't been able to fully go through all of the stuff in the Segya. But right, Trei Rikshi Rachiv, you've got both Shlichus and you have Hana. Now. We can't just say, okay, right, so there's this, that, move on. Right, first of all, there are different nuances in the Ramban himself, and we have to flesh out some of the Nafamina. So first of all, the Ramban has a different Trey Rikshi for Amemar and for Ravashi, right? There are two different Trey Rikshis happening in the sugya. The Trey Rikshi for Amemar, who allows Tfisa, so that, I should back up a little bit more. Why do you need both, right? What are you gaining from your shlichas, and what are you gaining from your hakana? Let's just start with there. When I first was going through the machamos, I actually thought that you don't need shlichas for anything. When I first went through it, I thought that he was saying that harsha is shlichas, but you need the pan of hakana in order to defeat the taina of labal dvar didiya. But then I quickly realized that's actually not the case. You need Hakna to defeat the claim of Lav Bal Dvarim Didiya, right? Which, as we said, is the pashtus of that line in the Gemara, right? That's why you have to say Zil Dun V'Afik B'Zachin Nafshach, right? Which implies that you have to not just be an agent of the Marsha, but you have to be a relevant party in and of yourself, right? The Ramban thinks that Shlichus is not enough to get you there. You need to have real Bailus. And he thinks you need to have shlichus for a second problem, which is that let's say the Nifgad is going to say, right, well, I agreed to give the stuff back to Reuven, right, so you may be a relevant party, right, you may have the right to sue me, but I don't have the right to give this back to you, right? I promised to give this back to Reuven. You're not Reuven, so even though you're a Bailim, you know, I would be remiss in my shomer responsibilities, which I take extremely seriously, if I would give this back to you, right? So that's why I'm a little bit I was a little bit unclear about that one, because that applies to Hava also, but I wasn't really sure why.
But that's pretty clear that he applies to Hashem and Bilbo.
Yeah, I'm just not sure why you need shlichus.
Because it's hard to be back to the ball play. It can't be back I think it's maybe more explicit. I
okay.
have to check again. I think in the piece, maybe in Shavuos, but here. But I thought that I mean, it's clear that he holds that way.
Yeah,
unlike the Rajpa.
That you can do Harshan Bilbo.
Yeah.
I know the line where he talked about what you need, what shlichus gives you, like from a koach perspective.
I think there are two different points. What is to read the Gemara? Gemara has nothing to do with Bilbo, right? It just was the practice. Harsho was often used to collect Bilbos. That's nothing
right.
to do, but you don't need that for the Shakotatari of this Gemara. But the Ramban is also trying to explain, just in terms of the Shakotatari of the Gemara, what do you need, you know, where does the Shlichos come in?
Uh-huh.
The benefit, you might think, not just the benefit, but partially the motivation, also is the assumption that Harsha works for Bilbo. But that isn't something that's noveya from the sugya, because that has nothing to do with the Yeruban, not with the Ravashi, not with the Meimar, not with the Baya, not with anybody.
Right? Okay.
So I think that's why you don't get it in the... You're asking, I think, how come he's not emphasizing that when he's emphasizing what you gain from the Shlichas? Because he's trying to tell you internally from the sugya, how do we know that it's so? But that it also affects that, and that that's part of, you know, the calculation. I don't mean pragmatically only. I mean, because people were using Harsha for Milbos. I mean, the Rajbas is a maverick, and say, yeah, you can.
Right.
But you know, it's clear from Muhammad's here that is acceptable, but it's also even clearer, I think, in the Hiddushim. That's one of the benefits. This is not a benefit that you can prove from the sugya, because I can always have the Rajman is there to say Meich Tesu said it does work in a world. That's a consequence. I guess that's a nafkamina, that's not a raya.
Hmm. Okay. So anyway, for Amemar, you have your strong Trey Rashi, right? You really are a Bailim, and you really are.
Just it doesn't I'm not exactly talking about probably don't use the shlichus at all, because it says that probably you can use. I think he has a line there. I think he has two lines. One, he accepts Taisus and holds it for probably you can make a knas or neva the king could go through truly, and you really don't need. And then also in the opposite direction, you don't think you would, if you if that wouldn't go through, then six might not be enough. But in the, it's Dafka, for example, Geneva and Meir Hagon, no?
That you...
That Hashal is... The Tzeir of the Archivayah, Trey Rikshay of Shlichus and Akhnah...
That's definitely...
It's in the, before he gets to the Afarish Pashto de Sugya, he says, you know, obviously choices are right, he could make a opinion on a Pekaldim. So in Meila, it says, Ksiva Betanina, you know, it's a possible because of that, because we're going to be Mesa Ish. So in Meila, he says, you know, the whole Sugya must be talking about Metaphil Yvnei Benzil, and then he, like everyone's referencing, adds in Bnei Alva, in light of, I don't know if it's more of the practice, but just in light of the fact in the Lo Otan, that he thinks, it's, you know, Schmitz and David Zayla, it's even less than Father Avdik and Rav Arshad. I think about Pekadon, I think he even explicates in the Farish Pshatha that he thinks...
Yeah, he holds like
Bali Tosos. Yeah, he holds like Bali Tosos, but maybe all you need is the Haknah, and the Haknah goes through. So you don't have this Das Nachman without an actual opinion, which is what creates the basis of the Haknah side of Rakhavet.
Okay, so the line where he says...
In other words,
in Pekadon where you can be the full Bialim, so then obviously you can take it,
and
elsewhere where you're...
The bialos makes me
a baldin, but it doesn't make me
him to be yote,
okay. Yeah. Shkaf, thank you. It's fine, right? So for a Meimar, you have both of these a real shayrich shirachiv, right? You've got both operating at the same time, right? And therefore, that's what allows tvisa to work, right? Because the bialos that he does have, the hakna that's there, is enough to make you the bialim. Right then, when he gets to Ravashi, so now we're gonna have to get more detailed, right? Because if we say that there are two systems that are working simultaneously, and it's not that shlichus is restricting your bialim. So in other words, we're not gonna say that you're the bialim, but because of being a shliach, that's limiting your tfis ability, right? Because he's saying that these are two kochos which are operating to help the morsha, right? They're not operating in competition. So that's going to force the Ramban to explain what exactly the kinyan is that is allowing the morsha to defeat Lav Bal Dvar Nidiyat without giving him the power of being able to be tofes, right? And he proposes three, which I think there are subtle differences between three. From the land, you see how seriously he takes these demyonos, right? So number one that he proposes is, he says, maybe we can compare this to the Baal B'Nichsei Ishta, right? That where the case where he has the rights to the peiros, right? So the halacha is that if the Baal B'Nichsei Ishta has the rights to the peiros, he does not need a harsha in order to be done on the land itself, right? So the Ramban says, what's the dimyon to the peiros? So that is the ability to enjoy use of the object which he's become the morsha for until he has to give it back, right? That's comparable to the peiros. Bit of a chiddush because it hasn't happened yet, right? But okay, right? So that's number one. Right, you're kind of, I've given you a toehold in the peiros, i.e. the ability to use it, and that is sufficient to be a baal davar and everything, even though it's obvious that it gives you no actual zechuyos and everything. Right, what this really is, it's possibly like an expansion of Abaye's svar in the Gemara, right? Because Abaye was saying that the ability to be, the zechus you have on Maxi Shlish Revia gives you the ability to be done on everything else as well. Right, so now the Ramban is kind of taking out and going one step further, where I'm not getting any zechus on the bein itself. I'm only getting a bein on the peiros of the bin, i.e. the ability to unite sarshimash for a little while, but that's sufficient to give me shaychus to the chafza, and shaychus to the chafza, that's all I need in order to become the bailam to be a baldavar for purposes of lav baldvarim diviat, and again, by extension, right, to be a baldavar for purposes of shvua as well. Okay, that's model number one. Then two models he gives, so the second one he gives is matzalman al-sahafzir. Right, so that's why I thought it was interesting that the Rashba Dafka did not invoke Matamana Sahaksir, whereas the Talmud HaRashba invoked it for him. Right, Matamana Sahaksir, that's a really interesting one, where, you know, here indeed we are saying that you have rights to the Chafsa itself. But we know that's inherently limited in time. Right, that's, I think, of the three options that the Ramban proposes, this is the one which really would give the most... would give the most to the Morsha, right? Because the entire object is his, and it's really his, but there's an almanas the Hachsir, which is built in, right? Now, there's no Tanai Kapel or anything, but apparently just the institution of Harsha is comparable, and he doesn't say it is a Matamanas the Hachsir, right? You sense that the Ramban is trying to work through this. He calls it, he says, right, Kin Matamanas the Hachsir. And number three, Kamo Matamanas the Hachsir. And number three he gives, it apparently comes from the Girsa of Rabbeinu Shiragon and Rabbeinu Haigon, which I think the Ramban takes very seriously. And the way that they end up having the Girsa of the Gemara is that the nafkamina, whether you say Shlicha Shavye or Shutva Shavye in the Gemara, is a function of whether or not you hold of the concept of Kni Almanas Lahakos. Right, can I have this... this concept where I acquire it, but only for purposes of it bouncing off of me, right? So the way the Gaon have the Gemara, if you say Shlicha Shavye, that's because you recognize the concept of Kni Almanas Lahaknos, and if you say Shutva Shavye, then you do not recognize such a concept, and therefore we have to give the Morsha actual Zuchuyos in the Chafza, right? Tangible Zuchuyos in the Chafza, and then he can be Tofes Apalga. Right, so that I think tells you that the Ramban we're taking this not just as like a dimyum ba'alma, right, at least for sure in this case in the Gemara, but this is dead serious, right? Like this is really, really what Harsha is all about, right? Because whether or not we're going to say Shlicha Shavye is going to stand or fall on whether we recognize the concept of Kni Almanas Lahaknos. Now Kni Almanas Lahaknos, that's a Kenyan where again, right? Unlike the comparison to the Paris of the Baal B'Nechsa Ishto, so there is, you know, a Sheikhas to the Chafza itself, but unlike Matamanas Lahaksir, where we're giving real, you know, there are Zechuyos, so limited in time, and that limitation in time can, you know, have broader implications, but there is a Zechus for the recipient of the Matamanas Lahaksir. So the entire basis of the Kenyan is kind of, you know, telos oriented, right? In other words, that the you're only getting it with the anticipation that it's bouncing off you, right? You can be madar hanaf from someone and nonetheless have kinyanos hakanos going on there as well, right? So that that's the third model the Ramban has for the bialis of Harsha. All three of these, unlike the Rashba, all three of these are. There is a sort of, there is some hakna, right? A range of detailed options, what it can be, but it is in quality, it is qualitatively removed from full hakna, right? Ad kan, the machams. Okay. So, the Machamos is basic, right? The Ramban's basic innovation that we have two tracks going on here, right? We have a track of Shlichus and we have a track of Bailas operating. So that really, that the originator of that basic breakdown was the Ravid in his Ballyhood. I forget what he calls it, but his kuntris on Harsha, which is Simin Samach Aleph in the Tmin Day. And then he goes on in Simin Samach Beis and in Simin Samach Gimel there as well. What?
Question.
Yeah.
When the Ramban makes the analogy to Baal Ben Nechsa Ishto,
yeah.
So he says, the way he describes the rights that the Mursha has in the Kefas actually the scar of the Schlichus. And the scar of the Schlichus is Scottish Tamshus, or that.
Right.
And he could sue the Neman because the Neman is blocking his Scottish Tamshus by not giving him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's Kimil Balvin, and he says, the Holy Kingdom. And it's Kamachomer from Balvin, and he that he wouldn't be a merchant.
So you're asking why I say...
Yeah, if anything, it seems
why I say
like... Why it seems like this limited Sfusik Shtamshus of the Mursha as the Schar of the Shlifus, if anything, should be less than a Baal's bona fide King and Heroes, meaning the Ishto.
I mean, there's a greater disconnect between the Peros and the Ara than there is in this situation where you have a chayfetz and I'm using the chayfetz, right? It's not a chafetz and it's Peros, right? It's, you know, my you have my cell phone, and right, so he gets to use it for the interim. So I would imagine that that's why it's a kol shekein, because you're using the actual chafetz and not just the derivatives of it. Yeah.
In that line, it may also be, I thought there might be a new map. I mean, I'm wrong, that when Harsha is oriented towards the person who's going to be brought to din, that is apparently a cold account from another halachic existence which already exists and then which is being used towards the gospel. Meaning, it might be a cold account, not the etzim, the kinyana might be weaker. But here, it's a cold again, and it should work, because that's what our show is set up to do. Meaning, ultimately, it's a cold again. Our show was built for this purpose. It's meant to do this. Whereas about the Nefzei Ishto, that wasn't at all the... That's a natural... I don't know for sure that's what he's saying. With Muhammad's it could be the seven elements that create that cold again. I thought there might be another part of it.
Yeah.
Does that resonate somewhere else or not?
In those Swissish Tamshus with the Hersha,
right,
it's obviously stronger than the Basque
right,
Heroes.
Right, exactly.
But a Swissish Tamshus alone wouldn't be sufficient.
Right, right. Maybe. Let's say that would be enough.
Right.
That's a good thing, yeah.
I think it's true. I don't think so.
Okay,
you'd say the Kenyan is stronger, but in the Baal case, you're saying that the function is.
Right, but this function, because it's not part of the
result. I think that's true.
Right. So maybe that, I don't know.
It's not like he's using the
Kosher Stamshus
of the Shliach as part of the mechanism of the
Hersha. It is part of the mechanism of the Hersha, but because it's created this way, it might be like towards him. Like, I'm not sure.
I think it's a good Ha'ara or something. That's the word.
Yeah. Okay. So right. So moving from Machamos to some of the other Shaman. Okay. So. The Ravid. So there's a lot in the Ravid. I'm not going to summarize the Ravid because it's going to take way too long, and it's not what we're here for. But take the time to.
What do you mean it's not what we're here for?
What? I mean, we're here. You know, we're here to talk about Harsha, and not like Kinyan Odisa, for example.
Oh, I see.
but he's got great stuff in Kinyan Odisa.
You just told us what a good read.
No,
this expense is terrible.
Well, you know, Shabbos is getting longer now, so good afternoon. Fine. It's also interesting. He has like a number of very subtle textual points too, which are great. Like for example, he says you could tell that we paskin, you could tell the Balamar is incorrect. You could tell that we paskin like Nardai, because if you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara kind of comes in assuming that there is a concept of Harsha, right? And then it's only a question of what does it apply to, right? If you go back to the beginning of the Gemara, so the Gemara had said, right, Amar Nardai, that Harsha, this concept that we all recognize as Harsha, there's only a question in scope, right, whether it applies to Metalfin or not, right? So the Rabbi says, you see, there's a baseline assumption of what is assumed in the sugya, right? And so then for Valmar to argue that Rabashi upends everything, you can't do that, right? Because that's just like one of the assumptions of the Gemara. He has a few different kind of like just really, really sharp points. But just for now, the basic his basic sheet when it comes to our question of how to define Harsha, so he actually says two different things, which I couldn't find it this morning, but there was one of the Hagaos in the tours missed it. I forget what exactly it was, but they basically they're upset with, I don't know if it was a tour or if it was only Osakalim, is quoting something in the Ravid that he didn't say, and he does say it, they just missed it. So the Ravid, right, the Ravid's got 2 points going on. And I don't think that they're related to each other, but he certainly means both of them. We'll deal with the less celebrated one first, then we'll go to the more celebrated one afterwards. Right. So when it comes to how you're going to defeat the claim of Laval Varm Didiat, right? So the Ramban had said what would be the Pashtos, right? That if there's a Hakna in the air, and there's a Shlichos in the air as well. So I would think that the Hakna is what is defeating the claim of Lav Bald Bar Didiach, right? What do you mean, Bald Bar Didiach Ani, right? Because I have a Kenyan, right? So you can't give me that dismissive time. The Ravid actually says the opposite. The Ravid says that the pan of the Shlichos Shavo is what gets around the claim of Lav Bald Bar Didiach, right? Ironically, kind of linking into the Baal Amar a little bit, right? That he appreciates the stature that the Shlichus gives the Morsha, unless we say that, you know, the Baal Amar's Chiddush isn't in building up the Shliach, but in taking down what you need for Harsha.
Well, I guess here you have the added benefit. And it sounds like he thinks that Hakna wouldn't help you with Baal Amar. Although that it's a little bit... I'm not sure if he holds that you don't need it, or would it help you? Now, why could it not help you? Because I don't recognize that I dealt with Reuven, right? So now the object belongs to Shimon, but I don't, you know, I wasn't consulted in that transaction.
So what?
And so in that sense, the Shulchan Shalom Kamoso is the. The Lav Bald Varm Didiach can always be understood in one of two different ways. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, I don't recognize the Shliach, or better yet, I dealt with him. I'm not dealing with his appendage or his lackey, you know. So, you know, let him come and he'll get his object. From that point of view, if you sell the object to Shimon, and he's the Bald Davar now, then there's no claim of Lav Bald Varm. That's how most Rishonim understand it. But I think that there are some Rishonim who understood it the other way, and that is Lav Bald Varm Didiach, meaning I don't know you. You're not even an appendage of his. This is not my. This has nothing to do with me and Reuven. So in that sense, the shlichus, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's more kamoso. It's just that, from another point of view, the sale. We usually look at the sale as strengthening against the taina of Laval Dvar Didiach. I'm just saying, yeah, from a lackey point of view, he's not a second rate, you know. Or a non-guy who's just deputized, you know, but from the other point of view, which is, I don't know about Reuven's other transactions, and I don't care about them. The guy I dealt with is Reuven. So from that point of view, any Reuven, Badarko is fine.
So, I'm not sure if this is where you're going, The Ravid's question of, so then if Shlichas give me Lav Bald Varm Didiach, so then what is the Hakna giving you? And he says that the Hakna is giving you, he actually compares to Mechir Eshtar Chok. And he says that the Hakna is giving you the Zchus Gviya, the Shiva HaGuf relationship, to the Nitma. That's being transferred through the Hakna.
Right.
So, but even as I would have thought, that kind of enhances, which is why I'm a little bit confused, because if I had those two issues, I would have...
He's saying they're both. These are both issues.
Yeah, exactly. It's just crossing what I thought to do.
So
I need to
have somebody who's not a complete... I thought that's the point. They say, a full Kona, I don't recognize because that's not connected to the pilot. Right? An appendage is a lackey.
Mm-hmm.
What you gain in this in-between is somebody who is still a bakoach of the bailin, so it's still relevant to me, but I don't want to deal with his lackey, but he has a sankhniya. He's an independent he's not a lackey. He's a le'inyan gviasachov. He's a bakoach, but an, you know, an independent guy. That's how I thought you were having your.
Yeah, and that's I think what he's saying. I would have thought that you'd say the opposite.
Right.
I would have thought that
the
personal relationship is coming from the shlichus, and I would have thought that the standing
that if
is coming
all you
from
are
the,
is if that's all there is, then you get the lackey problem. I'm saying this
right.
is a way of having both, of having both the tovah.
Okay, I would have thought that standing comes from my kinyan and personal relationship comes from my shlichus, and not the opposite. Not that standing comes from my shlichus and personal relationship comes from my shlichus kavia.
Right, I'm only adding that for the, I thought specifically for
mm-hmm.
the Raida,
mm-hmm.
that the Laval Dvarim Yidiyad claim isn't just about standing, it's about standing relative to my experience with this transaction. So you could have the most stature
right.
possible, but it has nothing to do with the person who I was involved with. So, you know, what's that? I don't know about it. I don't want to know about it.
But
you still need the connection to the violin, but you don't want to be just a lackey or an appendage. I'm not giving this object to a finger, right? And I'm also not giving it to a stranger. The Ark of Atrei Rikshi helps you because it gives you stature, you're not independent, but it's still.
But is this saying
that
you need both in order both kochos to defeat Lav Bald Varm Bidiyat?
I thought that's what you
because that's what I think he says we've handled Lav Bald Varm Bidiyat.
I thought he was saying we've
right.
handled one aspect of Lav Bald Varm Bidiyat.
Okay, so that's. Anyway, that's one part in the Ravid, just kind of opposite of the Ramban in that sense. And then he also has his line where he says, and this is you can tell he takes it seriously because talking about
just
saying,
see, how we got into this was
yeah.
it's still different than the Baal Amar, is what I'm trying to say. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's easy to say about the Baal Amar that he just doesn't. Instead of saying Shulchan Kabosa is more powerful for me. Because of Harsha than it is for other people. It's easy to say for the Baal Amor that the halacha, la Baal Korn Bidiyat, you know, you have to give it to an appendage too. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
But that I think is not true for the right.
Okay. Like even if not the actual claim of La Baal Korn Bidiyat, but the in other words, the claim of you don't have Zchus Gavia and La Baal Korn Bidiyat are at minimum very closely related.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Excellent. So that's approach one. He has kind of seamlessly, right, his primary approach, even though they're both there, which is that the shtar means different things to different people, right? Lishna de zechusa, lishna de reusa, right? That it can be for the benefit of the morsha, or it can be for the harm of the morsha, depending on who he's dealing with, right? So says the Ravid. If you're facing the nitva, so then it's going to have lishna de sechusa, which by the way is right the fact that you have seemingly contradictory lines in the shtar, right? Because the shtar on the one hand says zildam de zachi v'apat l'nafshach, on the other hand it says kol de mesanis, right, etc. right? So on the one hand we're saying that it's yours, on the other hand we're saying that it's still mine, right? So the Ravid explains that yeah, it's both. And when you're facing the nitva, you say, hey, I'm the morsha. I talk to the marsha. And I have the superior right to know what's in the shtar, and the shtar says that I am I'm the bailim, right? Zil dun v'zachi v'apel v'nafshach. But then he can't be tofes because if the marsha sues the morsha in court, the marsha will say, well, I know better than you what's in the shtar, right? And what the shtar really, really meant was that you're a shliach bialma, you're not a bailim, and so hand over what you very kindly took for me from the nitva. You can tell the Ravid really means this because of a comment the Ravid has on the Gemara Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, right? So the Gemara there is dealing with the fact that you cannot you can't send somebody to pick up your money as a shliach who just has certain signs that he's coming b'shlichoscha, right? That if you're a nifgad, let's say, right, and someone shows up demanding the object, and he has like certain signs of the mafkid, right? So you can't good, but you shouldn't. It's reckless. Don't give it to the person because the mafkid can claim I never sent it, and you have no right to give it to him. You have to give it to me, right? But the Gemara there says that if you do a kinyan agav, then agav karka, then it's going to work. And the Gemara also says is that one problem you'll have without the kinyan agav, right? In the event that you give the stuff to the shliach, so even if he was a real shliach, what if the shliach died, right? If the mishaleach died while the shliach was traveling to pick up the object. Right, so then me says mevato shlichus, and so he's no longer a shliach; he's just some average Joe. And when you turn around and give him the pikadon, so the pikadon is lost, and the yorshim will retain the right to sue you, right? Because the yorshim will say, well, you didn't give it to a shliach; you gave it to Reuven, and that's not something that you were supposed to do, right? So we can still sue you to give us the full value of the pikadon. So the question is, how come just if there's a kinyan, what does a kinyan do in order to get you around the chashash for misas ha, not mishaleach, but whoever the sender is, right? Because some are dealing with shlichas anymore. A bunch of Rishonim think that the kinyan tells me that now we're dealing with harsha, we're not dealing with shlichas, right? So how can the kinyan, how can the fact that there's harsha here, how does that get you around the concern for misas ha marsha, let's say? Right? So there are a few different approaches in the Rishonim. The Ravid says, he says it's very simple. We have a Marsha here. We have a Morsha here. The way that Harsha works with the Morsha is Lishan de Zechusa, Lishan de Reusa, right? So when he's facing the Nitba, he tells him, the object belongs to me, right? I'm the Bailim, so give it to me. Don't tell me La Baldvar and Didiya, I am the Bailim. And then when he's facing the Marsha, the Marsha says, I know what I wrote, and you're only a Shliach, so hand it over. So the Ravid says, the Morsha, in the event of Misas HaMarsha, you can't sue the Nifka, because the Nifka can say, look, I gave it to the Morsha had a shtar, and the Morsha can tell the Yesomim, don't say that there is a Bittel Shlichus because of Misa, because I'm the Bailim, right? Your father gave me the object, and he gave it to me, Behakna Gemura, right? Lisha de Zechusa, you don't know what your father wrote, you weren't there, I know, and I am the Bailim, and so therefore, the Yorshim are going to lose out. The Yorshim can't sue the Nifgad, because the Nifgad says, hey, this guy had a Shtar Hashan, I gave it to him, and it says, and Shtar says it belongs to him. And the Morsha can keep the stuff for himself, because he can tell the Yesomim, I know better than you what your father had in mind when he wrote this contradictory Shtar, right? So you see that the Ravid very much means it when he says that the shtars means different things to different people. Lishna de Zechusa, the Lishna de Reusa. Okay. Yeah.
So you say, you write the shtar contradictory things. So Maisa, what's the mechanism through which we're able to interpret the shtar with Tartu Sastri? Yes, the shtar itself is dispositive, and whoever has the better kind on Besdin, they get to interpret it their way.
I mean, you can interpret those lines in the stars meaning different things.
Contradictory.
I mean, it was a little bit strong when I said contradictory.
Yeah.
The right, you know, pashtus of one line is hakna, and pashtus of one line you would say shlichus. But look, the fact that someone focused on the Rishonim, you know, tells you that there's.
So if you arrive at that, we're going to selectively interpret it.
Yeah.
One way.
But in known circumstances. There are different clauses in the shtar from power in the one case vis a vis the nitva, and to empower the marsha vis a vis the morsha.
So
contradictory.
I think it is, and not contradictory, but I think it is a question of interpretation. I think it is being not that section A applies to person
it's
A
not,
and section B applies to person B.
It's not Tanai, but it is. I thought. It's a very nuanced, limited form of bailus which again is you know, which runs into the continued ownership of the Marsha in some cases, and other, vis-a-vis his claims, but not vis-a-vis claims.
That's a clause A,
clause B. But I'm saying it's not. It's not. I think the point is, it's not contradictory, and it's not also constrained as denying. I think the different clauses are relative to what is normally a purist hakna, right? That doesn't exist here. This is something that's broken up in a very sophisticated way, as reflected by the clause. That's all I understood. Right?
It's sophisticated in the sense that it accounts for the shtar itself is anticipating with different scenarios. And
the shtar itself reflects
in
that.
This situation and shlichos, and that situation and
right. Here's what the shlichos part that's in this.
Or as Malcolm saying that the shtar itself is dispositive. The ambiguity of the shtar allows the different toanim
right.
to interpret it with tovasan.
Right.
Well, like how can because how can the Morsha take it from the Yisomim?
Because vis-a-vis the Yisomim, it's only vis-a-vis the Marsha that the Marsha retains the bylaws. But he's set them up in a way which is not a classical shlichus, and it's not a classical bylaws, and it's also not just extraneous conditions that say, oh, in this situation you get this, in this situation you don't get it. He has like split ownership. He's given, again, I think the skuseg via model is very important here, and it's not only here that the rabbi has it. This is part of the rabbi's shita, I think, about mechiras. You know, the rabbi is the other shita together with Rebbeinu Tam, that mechiras chofes is daraisa.
Right,
and,
but right, he has it in
here. I know, this is part of the piece. And that's he has it in the Asangos on the Rambam too. So this is part of that same piece. As you say, Kinnan Avisa, Kinnan Suter, he has a lot of stuff in these pieces. I think that they are all, I think that they're all connected in that he has this quasi notion of bylus, just like we know that there are other quasi notions of bylus, Bashko, Arev, Shibudim, etc. The Ribbit had a quasi bylus that you can create, which is called Harshah, or which is Skusei Gviya in the case of Mechiras Chovos, which is very finely distributed, you know, for different things. That's what I understood, the difference. So it isn't so much the ambiguity and the question, who's the Tofes Ashtar, you know, to interpret the Shtar, because that, to me, seems, in the end of the day, somewhat mutually exclusive or contradictory. But it's, I think, connected to this bigger idea that when you're maknes kusei gviya, and even then, maknes kusei gviya for a morsha is different than maknes kusei gviya for a boker shtarchov shachaveiro. He was talking about both of them. They're slightly different in their emphasis, but that's like a category for the rabbin. And that category, mimela, has different consequences when the issues are, you know, the charge of ones, you know, or the pikadon part of it, or the yerusha part of it, or lachrabisa part of it, as opposed to, well, now that you've done, you've had this kusei gviya and you've implemented that, you know, now let's go back to the part that you never got, the shlichus part of this kusei gviya, of returning the object to the marsha.
Okay. Yeah, I guess some of it will just come down to. I thought that was like the Kash Pshan, just the read of.
In the what?
I just thought that's what the Lashon seemed to say.
No, he definitely speaks out of Hura and whatever. I'm just saying. Otherwise, you run into the question that Peter had asked, which is like, what does he really mean when you're with the Shtar?
And more than that, like, what gives the. Why can't the Morsha go back and say, hey, it says in the Shtar that I'm there's a Hakka. Why can't you go back to the Marsha and say,
he actually answers that question. So he has one line, he says, the Marsha says to him, Vanohu Mari de Mimona, At Yad Balashtar al Tachtona.
Says regarding Kefteshomamon.
Says Yadon Shtar Zeru. That's why the Bible are allowed to interpret the Shtar they want.
Well, it sounds like that in part. I thought in reading the Rite that he goes back and forth between sounding that way and sounding like this is a category in its own right, which I think explains those things. But there are some lines definitely in some kind.
From the line of where the Marsha tells the Morsha. Right, so that the Marsha could tell him, you can't keep it because Masi Hayech Lamimrale, Ana Lerusa Di Lachu Di Echavni. I intended for your Reusa.
Right, meaning I didn't give you full. I'm saying what that means is this is a limitation in what I've given you, what I gave you to begin with. I made you the Bailam vis a vis him. I gave you skusayuvia, not as a shliach. I gave you bailus legave skusayuvia, whatever that means. That's kind of something that's arriving in particular in the same group, because the same piece, the chimoskobos, is something that he thinks is a host.
But why should skusayuvia? I understand skusayuvia helping.
That doesn't help you vis a vis, but I never gave you skus and chapta vis a vis.
But how
the person who I retained. The primary bailus on the chapter for myself.
But so then how, exactly, but then that primary bailus should go to my Yorushim.
No, I retained it for myself, but part of giving you Skusayuvia is that when I personally am out of the picture, then as the person who is Skusayuvia, then that's part of the nuanced different status of this particular. Meaning it's almost like it's a very fluid and dynamic, you know, kind of a thing. Vis-a-vis me, right, you don't have this, but that doesn't mean that my Yarshim
had it.
That's a personal thing that I've retained for myself. That's where I think
I thought that Sechusei Gvio definitionally applies only to the person that you're being Zocha, you're being Gova from.
Right, I'm suggesting that it's a form of bailus that's competing with, just like Kinyane Geneva, right, the Gazela, in a way, compete with, except that this is set up that way. So, too, there can be like a Nixas or a quasi Kenyan vis a vis, you know, that he's giving him vis a vis this and not that and that and not this and so on and so forth. But not just as like separate conditions, but as part of the parameters of what that is. That's how I guess I'm trying to write it. It could be I'm over conceptualizing it because he does. But I thought that's what it was. Legabe Yerusha, that's not going to help anybody. Legabe is not own sin if you give it to him. And something happens, but there are.
Meaning for the Nishpet to give it.
Yeah. But that part's easier.
Yeah.
But even the Yerusha doesn't bother me. Meaning I've retained for myself as on a personal level, right, the right to usurp you with a couple of cats. You know, but that's not something that affects the Yarsha necessarily. Or vis-a-vis that, maybe it doesn't.
Avagabi Yorish came into Ihu lo afke Yorish nami lo matzi mafikle the high lishna masha lishna de shlichusa masha lishna de achniyasa the itan Ihu, that's if the Yorshim turn against him matzi lemeimar. If the Bailam claims, then Matzi Lemar Ana Vulahachi Echavni, Avayorish Lo Matzi Tavim. So it just sounds like
meaning that he doesn't. Meaning I retained this for myself.
It doesn't sound like who has standing to interpret the meaning of the Shtar.
I'm just saying the standing for the people. In the end of the day, standing to interpret the shtar is that like a category in its own right that's totally separate from what likely is the real truth, even the mimamsha, right? Again, if you can say such a thing, then that's fine, right? I'm trying to avoid
right.
So I'm saying that what that really means is that I get to interpret the shtar this way as the bala shtar and as the bala whatever, because that's part of our, you know, very complex bailus, you know, arrangement. But that part of it, and therefore I get to, again, if I don't want to, then I won't. I think that's where the interpretation of the Shtar comes in. In other words, if he takes it for himself and the guy doesn't say, I stand on my rights as the Bailiff, then he'll keep it. But I can still invoke this Lishna de Shtar as the Bailiff. That's part of my rights, you know, to vis-a-vis you, to retain that component for myself. But my Yorish doesn't have that, because it's all in this very, you know, finely broken up. So maybe it could be what the Rabbit is saying in all of that, is that some of it depends upon, some of it is left a little ambiguous, and, you know, you have to fight for it. He has to fight for it. He has the ability to fight for it. I mean, the Bible, the Marsha. The Bunin don't have the ability. What do you mean the ability to fight for? To invoke that that's what the Shtar means, as the Bala Shtar, as the, because it is still, at some level, his Milba, or his Pikado. That's how I
understand.
Good.
Okay, so
it's
now.
Definitely challenged.
Yeah. So now we move from the. Right, so you have one group of Rishon who says that you've got Shlichos, you have one group which says you have Hakna, we have the Rav and the Ramban each in a different way, who's talking about how both are operating. Then you've got the, I think it's really the biggest group of Rishon who think that you're maybe somewhere on the spectrum, right? It's not that I'm using Shlichos and using Bailus, that there is some, maybe he's primarily one, but with some of the other, right? So, for example, you might say that there's a Bailus here, but with a Shlichos limitation, right? There's a primarily Shlichos with an element of Bailus which can help, right? Or maybe a better way to say it would be that you're really a Shliach, but the Hakna Shabo is making you a more highly powered Shliach, right? A more independent Shliach. So on that, that's right, 306. Let's see. Okay, we'll drop a couple. But let's talk about the Tosas Rid. I'll talk about the Ram. So the Tosas Rid has a long piece in the Sefer Machria, right? And for this, I have to thank Moshe, because he's the one who came across the Machria, right? Machria is I think it's like linked to the Piskei Rid. I think that it's and he's going to quote all the machloksin and the Tosas, and the Rid is going to be Machria on various inyanim between some of the previous Rishonim, right? So Siman Pei Aleph in the Machria is the Rid is going to be Machria on the sugya of Harsha. Okay, this is not going to be able to get through everything, but the at the end of the day, the shita of the Rid that emerges is that there is a hakna which is going on here. And he says he rejects the Shitos and Bali Tosos who think that Harsha applies to Halva, and he says Harsha cannot apply to Halva because even though you know, let me take a step back. I have to kind of read him to the Gemara a little bit to get to his Shita. I apologize. Right, so we have the two positions of Nerdai. Right, we have Yikadamri Kamer Nerdai, and we have Yikadamri Basra of Nerdai. And the question is, how do those two relate to Rabbi Yochanan? Right, it sounds in the Gemara like the first position in Nerdai is operating from the concern of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, and then the question is, what's going on in the second? So Tos Rid has two different interpretations as to what the Machlokas is between Nerdai Kama and Nerdai Basra. The first one he has is it's a case where you have Edim to whatever is the contested object, right? And then he says, sorry, according to Nerdai Kama, let's leave it at that, right? So he says, if they're in the read that there are Edim, so the Nerdai Kama is exactly holding like Rabbi Yochanan, right? And therefore, I don't care if there are Edim, I don't care if there are no Edim. Why should Edim make any difference? The bottom line is that it's not in your Rishus, you need your Rishus to be mocking things, right? And so therefore, that's why Nerdai Kama said that you can't you can't do a harsha. Nardai Basra says, no, the only concern is Mechsika Shukra. We reject Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore, if you have Edim, if I have Edim, it's no longer Mechsika Shukra, because, right, these Edim are here who are going to back up whatever the claim is which is being written into the Harsha, and therefore, right, you can go ahead and do a Harsha in a situation where there are Edim, right, because we are no longer holding like Rabbi Yochanan. Second way that the Rid wants to interpret the Gemara, and this is the way that he prefers, right, is the question is, what is the relationship between Hakdasha and Harsha? Right, in other words, everyone is going to hold like Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, how does Harsha fit into the Rabbi Yochanan mix? Right, this is, we get to the opposite orientation from the Rashba, the orientation which I think is more Pasha. Right, so Naradai Kam is going to say that, well, just like you can't be, Makdish, so too you can't do Harsha, and you can't do Hakna either, right? They're all off the board. Hakna, Harsha, Hakdasha, Pidyon, Hefker, it's all gone. A broad version of Rabbi Yochanan. Naradai Basra says, no, you can't be, we agreed you can't be Makna things, right? Indeed, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you can't transfer Bailus. But Harsha is a weaker Bailus, it's a weaker transfer, and therefore you can go ahead, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree, according to Naradai Basra, that you can transfer via Harsha, and you'll only have to deal with the concerns of Mechsi Kishikra. Right, that's how he prefers to learn this idea. Yeah? And then he takes on the Shit and Tosos, who think that Harsha can apply to Chovos. And he says it can't be. Because even though Harsha is a weaker Kenyan than real Hakna, Harsha can only happen to objects to which Hakna is Shaykh. Right? If, in theory, I could be Makna this, then I can be Marsha this. And if, in theory, I couldn't be Makna this, then I can't be Marsha this, right? So even though outside of Milva Alpeh, you in this situation I can't be Makna because it's Shlover Shusi, but I have not been impinged upon to the degree that I can't even be Marsha. I can still be Marsha. But if I have a Milva Alpeh, to which Hakna is not even Shayach at all, like the Chafta itself, so then Harsha is going to go out the window as well, and you can no longer be Marsha, right? He proceeds to explain what exactly is the Hakna which is going on in Harsha, which you can only do to objects to which Hakna is Shayach. That is the Zechusei Gvia. What you are being Makna, he says explicitly, where you're being Makna to the Morsha is the right to go with the object from the Nitpa. Okay, that's the Rid. In the Piskei HaRid, he actually expands this, and Piskei HaRid, he says you can do this to Halvaos as well. He has a line in Piskei HaRid and Baba Basra, where he says that he I don't know, you know, which came first, but there he's okay with Harshaos on Halvaos Alpeh. He doesn't have his concern for something which you can't be, if you can't be Machin at all, you can't be Marsha. Right? Apparently in the Piskei HaRid, he's assuming that just all around we look at Hakna on one level and Harsha on another level, right? And the fact that you can't be Makna le'inyan kinyan le'gamrei does not mean that you can't be Makna le'inyan zechusei gvia of Harsha. Okay, Ad kan. Let's talk about the Rambam, and then we'll talk about some of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. Okay. So, any questions? Good. Okay. Excellent. So, the Rambam, you get mixed messages, and in fact, actually, I saw in the Rishimos, they quote the Rav as saying that the Rambam thinks that there's that Harsha is Hakanav Zechosei Gvia. Lanias Daiti, I don't think that's what's going on in the Rambam. I think it's pretty compelling that the Rambam thinks what you have is what you call like a shlichus, a boosted shlichus, right, or a shliach plus, a kind of independent shliach. First of all, so this is all discussed in the seventh, the third parak of Shulchan V'Shukvin. The Rambam has a line in Hilchos Shavuos, Parak Zayin Halacha Vav, which that I do have open from before, where he says Echad Hanishba Labal Hamamon Atzmo O L'Shlucho Haba B'Harsha Aso Shashlucho Shal Adam Ka Moso. Right, so that's Lachos Bachan Zion. In the context of Shavuos, he explicitly says Shulucho shel Adam Kamoso, right? So let's just put that down as a marker. Then we open Parak Gimel of Hilchos Shlucho v'Shofin, which I had opened before, and I'll have to reopen. So first of all, just even noticing the location where the Rambam puts the Halachos of Harsha in Hilchos Shluchin v'Shutfin. So he puts it smack in the middle, right between. It's the bridge between Hilchos Shluchin and Hilchos Shutfin, right? The first two parakim of Hilchos Shluchin v'Shutfin are Hilchos Shluchin, and Parak Gimel is Hilchos Morshin, and Parak Dalad Man, we move on to Hilchos Hilchos Shutfin, right? I think that there's that was definitely not unintentional. By and large, what you seem to get from almost all the Rambams, other than the prominent exception of Halacha Zayin, is an emphasis on Shluchos. Right? You have that already in Halacha Aleph. Yet Misha Haisel Okar Katachas Yad Echad, etc. etc. Veratzalaso Shliach Ladun Imzeh Lotziyak Karka. Right? So we can't get too, you know, you can't be medayik too much on just using the language of Shliach, because it doesn't necessarily mean he means a shluchos shanakamos shliach. Could mean he means, you know, an agent. But the fact that he says in the next line, right, you have to write zil dun mizachi apet anashach in order to defeat the taina of lav valdvar didiyat. And even though you write zil dun afal pishakasiv lo kain eino ela shliach. Right, so he's calling him a shliach consistently. He's calling the marsha the mishaleach consistently. He's saying that what Rav Ashi's line the Gemara did was to reinforce. In fact, indeed, right, he is a shliach, and therefore we're not going to be impressed by zildun. Let's see where are my notes on this one. One second. Okay, excellent. Right, so halacha, then you go on to halacha gimel. Halacha gimel, he says that if you are a shutef, right, so you know achem and alchen shachalku over a shutfin, so then you're not going to need harsha anymore, right? Because there he says, right, since here you're the bailim, you don't need harsha. Right, harsha is only needed when you are only a shliach and not when you are a shutef, right? And then halacha vav. Again, we're told. The concern for Mechzik HaShikra. So what exactly is this concern of Mechzik HaShikra? I've been throwing on this term of Mechzik HaShikra for a while. What is Mechzik HaShikra? So in Rashi, which I think is important, we'll get back to, Rashi has said the Mechzik HaShikra is that there is a false hakna, right? The Shtar Harsha is saying that the Marsha is being makne b'harsha to the Morsha certain things, which is Mechzik HaShikra, because what are you being makne? It's not here, it's Prashas, in Rashi's case, it's Prashas Anemon, right? So that is Mechzik HaShikra. The Rambam doesn't say that the hakna is Mechzik HaShikra. The Rambam says that the claim itself is Mechzik HaShikra. Right, Nimsa Zekim Ashaker, Shehu Omer Lo Hirshiticha Litol Ma Sheyesh Li Biad Ploni, Ukvar Omer Ploni She'ein Lo Etz Lo Klum. Right, not that there's a kinyan, but that I sent you to get stuff, which he's saying he doesn't have. Right? What?
Is that Rashi?
No, I don't think so. Rashi's saying that the transfer, you're transferring ownership of things that don't exist. The what? Right, the Marsha is giving to the Morsha things that he doesn't have.
Something which is not by that other person.
I do not have it by him. In other words, I can't claim it.
Yeah.
It could be used by someone. Because you're talking about a nema, heich is an nema. That's first next time you want. So in Rashi, make that thing more, first one is heich. In the Torah, that's what Rashi uses as heich. So the Rashi might just be saying, It's just that you can't be chosim on a shtar that says it can be done with him if he's not the right person to be done with. And that's he's not the Baal Isa. Once a Neman was koifer, so then there's nothing to talk about here. But that doesn't mean that it's worth claiming that it's factually not true that there's Bessie the cow is owned by this Mishaleach, by this Marsha. The question though is Bessie the cow by this Baal Pikadon or not? So to that says Rashi, it looks like Sheker to write on a star, to write a star of Hashah on someone.
And Rashi, why, based on what is Rashi assuming that you do on Betsy?
Well, meaning, we don't have any reason to say you don't. When everyone whenever someone writes our shah, you may not own it. That's true. But there's no less reason to think you own it just because he was Kripa. That's Rashi.
So I understand. So,
the Neman was Kripa.
Our shash is that the Neman doesn't have the cow, you have the cow?
No, not that I have a cow. Someone else has a cow, but our shah is meaningless. Don't write you cannot write Arshah to more than one person. That's an anacha of Rashi. If you use that anacha, so the fact that Arshah mentions to whom you have din and bar. But I don't have din and bar with him. That's Sheker. That part of the Shah is Sheker. Not that the Bessie's not mine. I do own Bessie. But it's a Sheker de Kazakh to be Marsha you to go din with Heach who has nothing to do with this. Once he's kofar, so it's wrong to write Arshah.
I thought that Rashi is saying that it's something, for all we know, there's no such a lahod bar
milah. But what, Jimmy, isn't that, just on its own, with Misfar, isn't that a big jump? I mean, this guy was kofar. Again, if we're talking about a Gazlan, just because the other guy was kofar, doesn't mean that it's not owned by me. We have no reason not to doubt that.
Just because the other guy was kofar.
Meaning that this particular person was kofar, but I may still own Bessie, just be somewhere else.
Why should we?
I think they all agree who Bessie is.
What? We all agree that I own. If I own Bessie,
there's a cow in Ruben's Shomer's house.
No, but we don't know. No, we don't know it's there. He's Cooper.
He's
not by me.
He just says that he doesn't owe that. That's not the cow.
It's not
my
cow.
Not that your cow.
He doesn't own that. He says that it doesn't belong to
whichever way.
Shimon.
So that
Shimon transferred to the Morsha, right? Ownership or collection power.
You got this
something that the guy who was Rishus on a very specific animal or object. That fellow
specific,
claims has nothing to do with it.
And a very specific name, though, you know what I mean?
A what?
And a very specific name.
And a very specific name.
So, says Rashi, is
but
wrong.
But did he give a marsha to get Bessie, or did he get Bessie the cow, which is with this name?
I think with this name. And that,
right.
Then Rashi makes sense. So then Rashi makes perfect sense. It's a sheker to be chosim on a star,
which
claims that this person has my Bessie.
Which is the dispute.
And that's not true, but that's very true. But that doesn't mean that we doubt at all that the Marsha owns an object which needs to be collected from somewhere. We've never doubted that. And that is how he says it. Otherwise, they look out the half. The last two words of Rashi are.
It sounds like
Rashi
before us also. And what? English Marsha
Okay.
So it's not a problem of not being able to connect it. It's probably maybe the Neman doesn't have the shekras in his mishos. And what you wrote in the shtar is a lie.
But what did you write in the shtar? That's the key point. What you wrote in the shtar was a hakna.
You wrote that you have the right to shekras or kinin to take the shekras from so-and-so's mishos.
And that's a
it's
false.
It's not in the show.
On that level, it's false. Not on the first two parts of the sentence. Only on the third. That's how we were reading it. I could be wrong, but otherwise, why say look out the hair? I mean, it doesn't go to Kama alone. That's not part of. Your sheker ends before that. What you're suggesting a sheker think about is just the very etzem parsha is meaningless. Rashi seems to be saying it is a chiddush. It's interesting. Comes out from that something enough about our shah works. That it's oriented towards a certain person, But once that's true, then once you have that avanna, so then you're actually going to do it. You can write Arsha all you want in Bessie, but you can't write Arsha, which claims that Bessie is incorrectly being held by this Nema. He was called for Vizen, and at this point, it's Messing and Kashika. He's called for 90 Vizen, probably. It's a career alone which creates a Messing and Kashika.
I guess the other way to look at it was the assumption, the case was, that everybody agrees that there is an animal that, you know, perfectly matches Betsy's description, you know, at the Namlet's house. And the only question is, you know, does that have anything to do
with
the Meyer show or not?
No, I didn't look. It could be many reasons I wouldn't. I just, that the way Rashi is touching those, I agree that there could be a Mesik and Shukra, like you're saying. In fact, it probably most people would agree with. It was not Mesik again. I'm just saying that it's not.
The
whole
of the game and Mesik and Shukra, Shema
Kashika,
Shema Bidado, Michel Zaklon.
Shehu Omer Lo Hershiticha Lito Mashieshli Biad Ploni Hukvar Amar Ploni Shein Lo Etzlo Klum.
What was the last three words?
Hukvar Amar Ploni Shein Lo Etzlo Klum. Fine, we could set that one aside. By the way, that line in the Rambam where he says Zukvar Amar Ploni, that's coming to go against the Sheikh of the Rif. For the Rif in the Tshuva, and the Tshuva says that Harsha can be Mesi Kashikra even after the establishment of the Harsha, which is something which bothers
very
right. So
the Rif.
Yeah, right. One of the Tshuvas is the Rif on Harsha. So the Rambam here is making is going out of his way to go against that line.
It comes about fair Mesi Kashikra.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tzais like seems to be needing that for Rashi to say, like, because he says that when you, but that's, I mean, that's a power. I mean, the Tzais says you can't be matneh in our segia because the pikadon later on there's going to be an error on the part of the.
That's how he
means
Rashi.
That's how he means Rashi.
That's what we mentioned last.
So,
week.
So that would work. That would line. I mean,
Dactos
needs the idea of the riff that somehow an error later on can affect the kinyanim of something that happened in the past.
Right, but the Ksos, I think, if I remember correctly, who said that he didn't see his ego. For him, it's all about Tzai Estina.
But
so
his revelation that
no,
lack of Tzai Estina can still be
right.
My friend. No,
so that makes sense actually a lot more in Tzai Estina problem than it does in the pure Pesach.
And in pure kinyanim, in the pure Pesach, you should. I hear they go for even more.
Right. In the Ksos, I understand the Shita So, but in everything is about. It doesn't really matter when. It doesn't matter when it's written.
It's like a tell because the king did go through.
No, I understand.
And I hear it.
But again, it's a pragmatic whole game of the kingdom. So that
can happen even. That could be the given message.
But here, if you just talk about pure Mexican shaker, that's why I think that's a very, it's very controversial. That,
yeah, which as I don't have an explanation for. Okay, so even if we don't get too wrapped up into that one, later on in the parak again, you get the emphasis that we're talking about shlichus. If you want to be mavata laharsha, right? So that's machlokas nirshon. The Rambam says you can in halachas. He says that you can do bitul at will. What's the line for that? I think he says that you're doing retzel vatal hashlichus. Right, he calls it shlichus when he talks about doing bittul and says that you are able to, they're able to do so. He goes on to say that if the morsha, you know, who's enthused after the Sanhedrin last year, wants to go and do a pshara on behalf of the marsha, so no can do because the marsha will tell him letikunish habesichlo lavisi. Right, so again, emphasizing the side of shlichus. And later on, he also says that a claim of Shema Bita Shlichuscha does not work. Right, the Nitba cannot tell the Morsha maybe your Shlichus was Mivutal. And again, there he talks about Balash of Shlichus. Now, what's interesting is why not? Right, why can't he say, well, maybe your Shlichus is Bata? right? The Tainos of Shema, right? Shema Mesa Mashaleach, Shema Bitala Shliach. That's exactly what's going on in the Sugya of Daf Kuftal. And now what's the problem with Shlichus? In the absence of Kinyan, right? And that is what's emphasized very much in Halacha Zayin. The Rambam Halacha Zayin says very strongly that you need a real hakna. You need to perform a real kinyan in order to get parsha started. Now, just for a bit of a contrast, the Yad Raman, it's quoted in the Torah, but you know it's in the Yad Raman as well, says that since, I don't know the line exactly, but he says that since harsha is only shlichus bialma, there's no need for a real kinyan shalmamish. You don't need a kinyan agav karka. After all, we're dealing with shlichus. And since when does shlichus need hakna, right? But the Rambam in Halacha Zayin says that that is absolutely what you do need. Mishayil Amos Pikadon Biyad Acher Baratul Harsha Shliach Lavian Ein HaKinyan Miyado Mol Bezash Ein HaMabea Nikna Bachalipen Elakei Tzadosa Nose Lo Karka Kol Shehu Umak Nilo Hamos Lagaba Kadei Lo Tzian Barsha Azo Volech Badani Mo Mo Tzian Haysa La O Milve Biyad Acher Ein O Yachol Lichtov Harsha Ala Vafilu Haya Chov Bishtar Mipnei Sheh Amivu Atzad Nitna Ve'ein Adamak Nachaleo Davar Sheein Obi Olam Sheein Lecha Darach Sheikna Adam Bachov Ela Ob Mai Mishlashtan Fuh Devar Sheein Lotam Kom Shab Yarnu O Behaknayas Shar Hachov Atzmo Beksiva Mesira Mipnei Sheh Umak Neshiva Chabo Zeh Hu Hadin Shirli Min HaTalmud. Right? And then he proceeds to discuss the fact that they're, right, we talked before about the fact that people are running around doing harshos for Havel Salbeh, and the Rambam tells you that this is a takanas hagaonim, right? That even though it shouldn't work, right? Hagaonim tiknu to such a harsha can work, and you do it on your arba amos of karka and Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam is not a big fan of, he's a big fan of arba amos of karka and Eretz Yisrael. He's not a big fan of arba amos of karka and Eretz Yisrael as a legal mechanism for performing harsha, right? Dvar meilu dvarim kalamein heid ad ma'od uruim shezeh miyomar shiyesh lo chelik b'Eretz Yisrael. Right, and then he just says that this is, go to Matzah and Shetiknu Tikkanazo, Amr Shein, Omer Bayukav Din Asahar, Vein El Kadel Ayim Al Hanitma, right? In fact, he thinks that this doesn't have legal standing. The Eshkol in Elsewhere on Tirmidayim is quoted as saying that it does. Right? He says that there was a Takana Sagaonim, that the Takana for Harsha, where it shouldn't seem to work, does have a real force, the Rambam says there's a takana which is there to scare people to give you money. But if you learn your Rambam, you know that it doesn't actually work. And the Rashba had a line where he said it's kind of ironic because the Rambam is saying, well, you know, I never heard of these Aramos and Eretz Yisrael, and then the Rashba says, well, I never heard of this takana sagonin. The Rif is a gaon and Rabbi Hanan is a gaon, and I don't see them talking about a takana. So okay, unclear. But the bottom line for our purposes is that the Rambam, despite all the emphases on shlichus, comes out very strongly as saying that you need to have a hakna. Right. So what seems to be going on here is what?
Milva also.
Milva. Really open it?
I think so.
Well, what was the Tekana Segonim for? Wasn't that what
Tekana Segonim was for? They have properly done Harsha. The question is where how the Kenyan would work. Let's say he did a
He says in ze haba b'harsha zo hara'ua pachos mishliach.
Say again.
In ze haba b'harsha zo hara'ua pachos mishliach shaso beidim. But that's still vulnerable to lav baldvar midiyah, right? What she says. Avalam lo yirtza nipa ladunimo in kovenoso delutimo belishava atshaba baldino.
Right, but if it was pure hakna, why would it work at Adver?
But how could you...
Let's say it was pure hakna.
Let's say Harsha was okay.
So it wouldn't be the subject of the claim of law. It wouldn't be this initial Baba Parmigiana.
Ah, okay. In other words, the way that the Rambam rejects Harsha for Milval Peh still is another raya that Harsha really is a shlichus. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Good, that makes me happy. Which I didn't think I was going to say while being up here. Okay, great. So
how do you explain it?
What? Yeah, so it seems, so I can't, I don't have all the details ready for this. We discussed it today, right? But it seems like what the Kenyan is doing is the Kenyan is juicing your shlichus and making you is making you like an independent shliach, right? That you are a shliach who can also be a bal dvar, right? You're not, you don't have bailus, but you are a bal davar shliach. You're a shliach who has standing on your own, not only as a as an appendage of the Mishaleach. It's a baldover. maybe not a
bailus. That's also the language of the Shavuos, right? Are we gonna get back to that?
In Hilchos Shavuos in Zion Vav?
Yeah.
He just says Shlucha Shana Kamosa there.
But for if Kosa Bar Shah.
The shlucha haba b'harshaso.
Right.
So why does he have to say haba b'harshaso?
Right.
He's still shlucha shana kamoso, but he's a shlucha shana kamoso haba b'harshaso.
Right. So in a way, he has the best because he's kamoso, like you're not a third party, like I was saying before. I'm gonna say it can be in either way, but he's on the appendage because he's above b'harshaso. Right. So he's kamoso, but not in an inferior way. Either way, it's a combination there.
Yes.
It's definitely above our shas. I mean, the Nosa Kalim discussed there why he used the phrase shalashashimosa.
Okay, so that's the Rambam. And finally, we won't look at all of everybody, but let's just talk very quickly about Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, so if we go... We go all the way back to Rashi on Ayin Vav Aleph, so we get a number. We get kind of different implications, even from the second Rashi, right? Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. So what does he say there, right? So that's Igadamri, the first Igadamri, right? That's Nerdai Kama. And Rashi says Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. So why doesn't it work? Why can't you do a Hersha? Tahol Ein Rishus Bailim. Eino yachol lahaknoso leshliach. Right, so you can't be makna to the shliach. You can't be makna to the shliach, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan is going to be a problem. And then he says, hilkachim avad yachol lachzor v'ledvoa miyahenam. Therefore, if the stuff is lost, he can go back and he can sue the nama. So Rashi is also within Ner Daikama applying this to pikadim, which is interesting, and we'll talk about that more in a second. So we also had our. I'll skip the discussion of Messing Shikra because we had that already. This is just a diak, but take it or leave it for Rashi seemingly talking of more than just Shlichus in Rashi is in the context of Abaye. Where what's Rashi's emphasis when he quotes? When he quotes Abaye, "Ikasav ba lemachzer l'shlish dun v'zachin anavshach v'hamosar shali." So it just sounds to me like the primary person there is the morsha, v'hamosar shali, right? And the leftovers will go to the marsha. It sounds to me like the morsha is a serious party in the case, maybe even. The primary party in the case over here, right? Vahamos are Shali, and the leftovers goes to me, the Marsha. Okay, it's a diak, take it a leave. Correct. Quantitatively, obviously, it's not the case, but qualitatively, I think that it is. Yeah. Okay. So, what is, on the other hand, Rashi's mentioning Shlichus consistently. In Shavuos, Rashi has a lashon of Apotropis and a lashon of Shultanus, right? His Shlito. Abaldino Latova, right? That you empowered him to be your Toveya. So you know, there's kind of a dearth of information, at least from Rashi here, and that's why I wanted to look for a little more information for Rashi. So now, I thank Rebbe and I thank Moshe Abrams. Now I got to thank Bar Ilan for finding me some stuff in the Tshuvas of Rashi, and it's elsewhere as well. The Gersa is totally messed up, but it's probably the best in the Sefer HaOrah. Okay, so there's that reference in the second Rashi, where Rashi said, "Hilchakim avad yachal lachzar v'lotbo miyahanem." Right, that if the according to Nardai Kama, if the Morsha loses the stuff, since Hasha doesn't work, you can go back and you can sue the Nifgad for your belongings because he wasn't a valid Morsha. So what's that doing? So there's this piece that comes up. It's in our Tshuva Rashi. It's in the Sefer Ora. It's in the Pardes. It's in the Machzor Vitri. Rashi gets a strange shaila. Rashi gets a shaila. Do I need Harsha to appoint someone as a shliach lekiddushin? Right. So I want to appoint someone as a shliach for kiddushin. Kiddushin is very important, and I want my shliach to be able to do this. So maybe I should do a Harsha so that the shliach is sufficiently empowered to mekadesh the isha for. Which I think is a fascinating habit, you know. And Rashi tells you, no, right? You do not need harsha to for shlichas. All you need is shlichas to be kind of shnisha. So Rashi says, and by the way, it sounds like I should explain what you need harsha for, right? So let me explain what you need harsha for. So what does he quote? He actually doesn't quote the Gemara Daf Ayin Baba Kama. He actually works off of the Gemara on Daf. He goes back to that Gemara about the person who is sending a shliach to collect his stuff, right? Where the nifgad is not going to give it out of concern that he is going to the mursha will lose it or the shliach will lose it and he'll be sued again, right? Or the mishliach will die and he'll be sued again. So Rashi says that's the case where you need a harsha. Harsha zo lama. Why do you need a harsha? Never mind. That's on kiddushin. Never mind. Here's the case. Avol adam sheyesh lo mamon biyada rotzeh la'asur shliach ve'lotziyah miyada. Right. So you have money and you want to get it back. Tzarech lahaknoso l'shliach agav karka. Rashi says, right, like the Rambam, he says you have to do a harsha. You have to do a real kinyan agav karka in order for the harsha to work. Right, which he referenced. In Nerdai Kama, apparently Rashi thinks that this is true. This is true lahalacha, right? That you still require a kinyan agav, and then he quotes the sedya on Daf Kiftalid, right? After the question of the diukni, it's called, right? The diukni on Kiftalid. So there's a gemara which shows up on Kiftalid, and it shows up in a number of other places as well. That Rav Papa had 13,000 zuza, 13,000 zuza that he wanted to get back. There's a key Gersa question: was it a halva of 13,000 zuz, or was it a pikagum of 13,000 zuz that he wanted someone to pick up for him? So he's makna agav karka, right? Agav the end of his house to his agent who goes and picks up the stuff for him, right? So Rashi says, you see from there that if you want to empower a morsha to pick up stuff for you, you have to be makna to him agav karka, right? And why do you need a hakna? Shem lo yikna lo yeheze no sein l'shlicho sha'aso be'idim. Lo yeheze ela no sein l'shlicho sha'aso be'idim. Ukedam rinan ein mishalchin mos b'diokni shem yitei no sein l'shlicho sha'aso be'idim v'lo hikna lo yachol l'tovam hayom l'machar. If the Nifgad would only give the money to a shliach ba'alma, then the mafkid can turn around and resue, right? If you want to stop the mafkid from suing you for the money again, then he has to have an actual kinyan agav karka. So says Rashi in a number of different places, right? So I think. We were going back and forth in this. I wasn't sure. So I think the Rashi also thinks, like the Rambam, that you have here a shliach, but however exactly defined it, an enhanced shliach through kinyan, a baldavar. I guess, I don't know, he doesn't talk so much here about Baldavar, but you, the shliach has to be, I think the shliach has to have bialis in some way within Rashi. I think. The Rambam, no, but I think in Rashi that he does. But I'm not sure. At minimum, there's definitely not a shliach grade. There is certainly upgraded shlichas going on. One second. Yeah, so the question is, what about Balei Tosfos? And that's where I think things are a little bit more complicated than people give them credit for. I didn't know about Tosfos, I should have, I guess. Tosfos on Kiddushin Daf Gimel, but it's also actually in the Mordechai right here, says that Rabbeinu Tam, this is in the tour, Rabbeinu Tam was of regular habit to have Goya Shemorshas, right? Which seems like a problem, because as we said, right, for the Balei Tosfos, Leis Alatar, Harsha is all about Shlichos, and last I checked, you can't have a Goya be your Shliach, right? In fact, there's, if I could just digress for one second, talk about the Ritva. So the Ritva has three tshuvas on, at least that I saw, three tshuvas on Harsha. The Ritva clearly is coming out of the world of the Ramban, because he's talking about shlichas b'miktsas sometimes, and he talks about kinyan b'miktsas other times, right? So where's my list of his nafkamina? One of them won't go into details, because there's one which you have to read two tshuvas, because it turns out there's a whole wild family story going on in one of them. If you have time after finishing the Trindam, I would recommend reading Simon Lamaches and Simon Lamates in the Tshuvas HaRitva. But, so what are some things he says? So, one, he says, since there is Shlichas, so can the Malve appoint the Love to be his Morsha from the Ariv? Right? So the Love is broke. So the Ariv is going to be on hook for the loan. So can the Malve have the Love be his Morsha to the Ariv, right? Now, if the Love is a Bailin, so then you're going to get caught in this destructive cycle, right? Because the Ariv is going to give the money to the Love. Now the Love has the money, so the Ariv should be off the hook, right? So the Ritva says that since... there he says very strongly that since Harsha is just a shlichos bialma, therefore indeed the Lova can go and be the Morsha from the Ariv. In that case, the Malva was the father, the Lova was the son, and the Ariv was the first cousin. And if you read Lamechas, you'll see that the first cousin's he's going to have kindness in the Ritva after all said and done, because he comes out much poorer than he came out in the beginning of when they sent the Chuvas, the Shias to the Ritva. So that's one. But also in Simin Tesvav, says Ritva, since there is Ktsas Shlichus Shabo in Harsha, you can't use a guy as a Morsha, right? Which makes a lot of sense. So how is Rabbeinu Tam of regular habit sending Morshim who are non-Jews? And in fact, the Marshal is very upset about this, right? He says, Tori Vilimon Itzarech, I have to say that I think that the Rebbeinu Tam's psak is incorrect, and I have to say that a guy cannot function as a Morsha. Now, Marshal was assuming that Rebbeinu Tam thinks that Harsha is Shlichus. I think, though, if you look carefully, that may not be so simple. I think that Rebbeinu Tam is, at minimum, coming off of Rashi, and maybe a little bit more, right? At minimum, Rebbeinu Tam thinks that we have enhanced shlichus, which we'll talk about in a second. I think the Rebbeinu Tam may even think that Morsha may be a totally different category from a shliach, although I don't know for sure. But if you look carefully in some of the Balei Tosfos, so we have our Gemara, right? Then it's a Rikita Eger, right? Rikita Eger sends you to Tosfos and Baba Basar Daf Kuf Kav Zayin. And there, right, so the Re makes the Diyak from the fact that you have that you have two Suffolk Bechoros who are being Morsha to each other, right, that since they shouldn't be able to be Makt to each other, because Zain L'Bukhar Kodama Nachma, right, or I forgot what the exact line is. Where was it?
I think they stopped.
Kuf Chav Zion. I have two Bechoros who are mixed up, right?
So
I have two Bechoros who are mixed up, so we don't know who's going to get it. And so we say
between the two
Savik Bechoros, they can make a Harsha, so they'll sue the rest of the brothers. Either I'm the Bechor, or I'm the Harsha for the other Bechor, right? So the Riyah says, well, hey, wait a second, right? Ain the Bechor, Kodem Chalukah, so what are they doing claiming on each other's behalf? Ah, we see that there's no Hakna going on, right? Rather, there's only the Shlichas, right? Harsha Shlichas, so says the Riyah. Okay, now in that case, the case of Rav Papa, right? Rav Papa, again, who had what? On Kuftal, yeah, right. Kuftal and a couple places elsewhere as well, right? So he has the 13,000 zuz, which he wants to get from distant party, and therefore he sends the guy to whom he is machna agav karka. So now the problem is, if you say that this is a loan, right? If you have the gerus that this is a halva, then there's a problem here, because how can there be a halva? How can there be a kinyan agav? How can that work for a halva? So Rashi says it does. Tosas say it does not. Right? Tosas don't think that you can be that you could be machna chobos agav karka. Okay, if you can't machna chobos agav karka, then how can Rav Papa do what he's doing? So in Tosin Ksuvis on Daphne, so there they say, no problem. I can't be machna. But what can I do? I can make a harsha, because that's, it's a hakna, but it's for shlichus. All I'm doing is making a harsha for shlichus, and so since, even though I can't make a hakna on karka, I can make a hakna for shlichus. Which I think really is, what's really going on there is that they're looking at harsha as a shlichus. I don't know if it says pure shlichus as Balmar, but I think it probably is, because that's the shita tosus that we know and love.
Even tosus here,
doesn't
think that Shlucho Shal Kamoso will work for Labal Dorm to Diyat or for Shua Seidas. Do they? I don't think so. I mean, they're not the Balabar.
Yeah, okay, fine. So you need to be but you're still, it's still.
It's
more
of
Shlucho, yeah, but
it's not. It's
okay,
not.
That, yeah, I should have made that clear.
No, I don't just mean in terms of clarity, because maybe that's important. And this is our bigger tab also.
So what's interesting is, I don't that. Tosus and Bava Basar Ayin Zion ask the exact same question,
yeah.
And there they quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying it's a special takana. Right. It's a takana sachamim that you can make a harsha for halvaos, right? Why not say the shlichus answer?
Like
Tosus here, right? Why not do that? Why not say what was said in Tosus on Daphne and Hay?
Isn't that what Tosus says here? Who adin halva af mishen yochol hafnos kisvin narsha the time the highlish of askin of the shlich shaviyeh the asu takana leig and shlichus ki ilai yakoda ken yigom. That is what it says. The reason halva works is because asu takana.
No.
I don't think so. I'll have to I'll think about that. The Rabbeinu Tam is also quoted in a number of different places where the Rishonim who are quoting him are talking about, don't mention Shlichas at all. That's the Ramban right there in Baba Basra, the Ravid in Baba Metzia, and the that same Eshkol in the Tmim Dayan. All three of them quote different things that Rabbeinu Tam has said, right? The Eshkol is quoting Rabbeinu Tam on the Mechsik HaShikra point, but that's all that he quotes from Rabbeinu Tam is the Mechsik HaShikra point. That's that Eshkol, and then he goes on and says that it's a Takana because of Shalei Hekol Adam Nota Ma Shachadera. Yeah, and the Ramban and the Ravid as well, Ravid Bavit Siyad Lamvav, and the Ravid, both around the Marakos, both times they talk about, the Ramban actually doesn't, they both do. They both talk about, Kenyan, and both talk about, a Takana. So I think that for, I guess you could say it even if Rabbeinu Tam is what's going on to us, but I don't think so. I think that for Rabbeinu Tam, the Morsha is, such an independent shliach that you can be a guy and be a shliach because you're no longer a shlucho shel adam kamoso shliach. You are a independent shliach, right? And so I can't say with confidence because I have to.
Why does it say you should write the kanina?
Hmm?
I thought the whole point is that it said you shouldn't write the kanina because the kanina means shlichos ben shlichos adai. Then the Talmud says you can't write, you can't use a guy. If you use a guy for a morsha, don't
write
the kanina because ain't shlichus a guy.
Right.
So it sounds like ain't shlichus a guy applies even in the context of a morsha. You said write the kana mine, not the kanina. Because sounds like too much like shlichus. Or do you mean to say that he has two? Or did I misunderstand? You're just suggesting now that maybe if he's an independent shliach, that'll work for a guy?
Maybe. I would prefer to say that he's not.
Unless really you think there's something about the word bekanina, which doesn't. I'm just saying, other Rishonim too, is that you can't write the word bekanina when you use a non-Jew for a morsha. You can use a non-Jew for a morsha. But you shouldn't write the kanina, because that sounds like a lashon of shlichos, and ain't shlichos
l'gai. Right. Okay. We'll hold off on that. Fine. So just to, we'll stop.
It definitely sounds like he has some other perspective on what Harsha is there. That's true.
I wanted to say that he thinks that Harsha is just an independent category. You're not a shliach, you're not a bialim, you're a morsha. And morsha, right, I there's a line in the Rashbam also, which I thought was this way, that, hikna lohamas b'toras harsha, right, Rashi's line of that you're, again, right, Rashi said something also very similar, that you are, somewhere he said, so I don't know if that I would like that to mean that Morsha is not a combination of Shliach and Bialim, not a primarily Shliach but with independence, but that he's a Morsha.
What's
a Morsha? Someone who has, so I mean the Rid really is kind of getting in that direction because the Rid says that you've been Makatim's Chosei Gvia. I mean, if not, he's your... That's why they're calling... They're the language of Apachapas, the language of Heshlitu, right? I don't know the exact language, but Rashi and Shuasri says that it's a language of Hashlata to be Tovei on your behalf.
Reading is a primitive category?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it ends up being not so different either from what that's what you're saying. But it's not so much different than enhanced, just like calling it that, right?
Yeah.
Either enhanced shliach or what I'm calling quasi-bailus of like a kinyomanas la'aknos or a skosekviya type. Just not calling it arkavad trei rekshi or shliach plus. You're just saying there's something called worsha, which is kind of one of those or three, but it's just not. It's just not formulated with reference to those other categories.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
Now, like, there's no. I would love there to be a makar for like Xeris Akasa for Harsha, but there's not. So that's one reason definitely why I'm hesitant to say that.
Well, I think that's why they were shown and tried to make it into
exactly right.
Either a combination or a quasi of one or the other.
Right. That plus the fact that Ravashi did say Shlich Hashavye.
Yeah.
But if you're faced with the guy problem, so that's maybe
one. But at least
one.
I didn't say Shlich Hashav Kamosa. So that would be a little helpful. But you don't even have that to help with the Rambam.
Right, which is fine with me and the Rambam, because the Rambam thinks that he's a Shliach, but he's a Busa Shliach.
If you're a button, you can make that too.
I mean, you still have to deal with the fact that Rabbeinu Tam in Kiddushin is concerned for Shlichus Lagai in certain contexts, which, I have to. Oh, because I'm on the way. So bottom line, right? So Harsha could be totally Hakna, it could be totally Shlichus, it could be both, or it could be primarily one with some of the other, or just primarily one with some limitations. Okay.
What about some of the nothingness of people?
Okay, so I wasn't.
You don't have to. I'm just highlighted.
I have the whole I have a whole list here. I just didn't want to keep people. So can you be mevatel harsha, or if he's really a bialim, or especially, or maybe even if he's like an independent shliach, so maybe his harsha will continue unabated, right? Or lachamisa as well. I didn't talk about the whole world of the Ravan and the Ravya and the Orzarua, but that's a very important discussion there, where they really seem to think that. You have in the world of the Ravan and the Ravya, you have also, I think, independent shlichus going on, and they say that it's not batel after Misa. Likewise, one of the Ritva says that thanks to the Hakna, lo asid yibur mevatel maisa, right? So that's the tzad kinyan shabo. He seems to say it only when there's actually a maisa kinyan. But then that would that renders harsha unbatalable. Whether he's a guy, do I need the lashon of zil dun? Can the morsha make can the marsha make a second morsha? Right?
Can the morsha make a morsha?
Right. Those two going together. Right, so the Rush says no, that the Morsha cannot make another Morsha. Can the Marsha make one? So there you have Rishon saying the Rush and the Ramah says yes, and the Gra says yeah, you can make as many Morshas as you want because the Morsha is only a Shliach. Right, had a Morsha had a certain Hakna. So then I could have said that, right, you give your stuff over once and it's gone, right? Argues, says the Gra, explaining the Rash and Ramah, that they say that you can make as many as you want because it's only a shliach b'yalma. Right, we talked about what kinyan do I need? Do I need a real kinyan? Do I need a, kinyan kol dehu? Maybe no kinyan at all. The riff is a tshuva. The Rif says that the Krovei Hamorsha can serve as Eden. right? So if I thought that the Morsha was a real Bilam in the case, then right, then I should disagree, and his Krovim should go out the window. Who was this one? Okay, if the if my this is the again I dropped this because it's in the Rav Yeah, which we have time to get to, but let's say I have a Morsha who's also my Yorish. So if I have a Morsha who's a Yorish, so do I need the line of Zildun Vizachri Abaganafshach? So part of this depends on whether the Taina of Labal Dvarin Didiyat is you don't have standing, or whether it's maybe the Marsha died. So if, assuming it's the Marsha died, says the Rav, yeah, hey, you have Shlichus here, and there's no concern of Labal Dvarim, because if there's death, then you are the, you're the Yorshim. So therefore, I don't need to write Zildun, assuming that Harsha is only Shlicha. So if Harsha means I have to give over certain kochos, that wouldn't make any sense, right? In terms of what the scope of Harsha is, we've got Harsha for Havah Salpeh. The Marshal who assumes that there was a Takana for areas where Rabbi Yochanan should be a problem, right? And wherever you can't be, or Rabbi Yochanan, but just you can't be Machna, right? So Havah Salpeh, assuming you can't be Machna. So Harsha there is working through with Takana. So he says that then, right, there are going to be nafkamina between the harshaos of Takana and harshaos for stuff which you can be machna, right? So can you force him? Can you be kofel adun, right? Which was already real in the Rambam, and whether you can be toface. Whether you can be toface. If you fail to write Kol D'Masana Salah, right? So he says if there's no takana at all operating here, if there's no kahakna operating here, then what do I care if you didn't write Kol D'Masana Salah, right? You still can, you still have no zechuyos, and it's still going to go to the Morsha. But the harshos, which are based on a hakna, so then in the absence of Kol D'Masana, so it's open season, and the Morsha can keep whatever he wants. And finally, one last the Meiri quotes the Machlokas: if the Nitan can make a Morsha, right? Can he make one or not? So if all we're dealing with is Shlichos B'Alma, then why not, right? You go ahead. But if we're talking about a certain Hakna, the Zuchus and the Chayfats, so then it makes sense that the Nitan can't, because the Nitan's not there. What Zechuyos is he giving the Morsha, right? The Morsha of the Nitan is saying Lo Hadam, right? So that's that. Okay.
It's part of the Antlers, the famous, that's not a very expanded rabbi, but Antlers. Antler.
No.
Lori, we talked about this.
Oh.
The Rabbeinu Chanan cut off on the first half of the second paragraph. I showed you this. It's also
oh.
In the day.
Worship. It's yeah. So again, we showed him in Marcos and Sanhedrin.
It was a pre-coffee.
Coin down low, down low, down no so. And the Yerushalmi asks, why can't he send
his uncle?
An agent?
Mm.
It's like a lawyer.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that the Morsha, which you're talking about, the Meiri, is part of that discussion. We showed him they call it the Morsha also interchangeably. Can he have somebody be towing, or is that a problem of a Blomi Piri on the Turgamon? To represent, it's like a lawyer, kind of a precursor of lawyers. Whatever. A lot to say about that. Yeah.
Okay,
Shakoa. Thanks a lot. Okay, so date next week. And the bias.
I
don't really know.
Okay. Yeah, it's cold.
Nah.
Yeah, this is free coffee again.
It's totally ringing a bell now that you're mentioning it. Oh my goodness.